Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I want people to believe in me, and I want people to believe in me when they taste my beer. That's what it's about.
You mean you laid underneath it and tried to
put his tongue up the bung?
I like to actually scoop up the yeast and look at it.
7 o'clock came real early that next morning.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for dumbing that down for us. You did an awesome job.
It's all about food and beer. You
punch me in the junk.
Man, that thing was thick.
The point is, just beat it like it's your dick.
I like to smell it afterwards.
Are you being sarcastic
no.
right now?
No. Bring your body armor.
I ran into my jungle once on a ball valve on a kettle.
That's a true happy ending.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Mighty Session on thebrewingnetwork.com, which is a website you can visit on the internet.
Really?
Yes. Well, I can. You can't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're not allowed to. Tasty might be able to. The judge, I think, is going to rule on that shortly if you have access to the internet again.
Mm. Well, I'm going to try.
Oh, dude. Look, it's your life, your hands, you know?
Okay. Here I go. Oh, my phone died, so now I can't.
See? There you go. Warren, as I like to say, we're here for a long time, not a good time. So...
That's what I'm here for.
It's just, you know. Anyway, everybody, what's happening? Thanks for joining us. We have a cool show for you. We have a full show for you. After the break, we're going to be talking to not one, but two people. We're going to be speaking with Dave from something called the Suds and Duds Society, which is, well, I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to hear from the man himself, but it seems pretty cool. Essentially, it's a subscription service, and that's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you anything else about it. It's what we call a tease.
Yeah.
It's a teaser.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, scoot back.
Just fill out the air.
You'll be a while.
My butt's real big.
It's blank of the month kind of thing. So
right.
Fill in the blank.
Exactly
you might be
right.
Surprised.
Exactly right. And then we're going to be speaking with John Hovermail, I believe, if my eyes are not failing me, from, what is it, Bev? Escutcheon?
Escutcheon?
Escutcheon. Escutcheon. I can't read Bev's handwriting, so it's my fault. I apologize.
Well, it's not written on there.
Weird.
So it would be difficult. For
I
you
was
to read.
Look. I was trying to, you know, I was trying to cover for you, Bev.
Yeah.
But
why would it be written on a post-it note? It's on the show notes that I sent you earlier.
Actually, it's not. But that's okay. It's fine. You want to come take a look? Bev's having problems. For those of you listening live, well, I guess you can't hear anything because Bev's having audio problems. So Bev's a little.
They could be listening via the stream, but not the live stream.
Bev's a little ornery right now.
Yeah.
She's like, don't talk to me. I was trying to help her out a little bit ago, and I was like, let me take a look at this, because maybe...
Oh, no, yeah, man fix it.
Yeah, I tried to. Because sometimes with Macs, like, you can change the inputs and outputs of the audio.
Oh, right.
And I thought maybe she changed one of those, because she usually uses the Mac, and so I look, and I'm like, well, everything's fine. Let's see if you can play something else. So I just went to YouTube.
The only sure.
80 million makeup tutorials. Like, how to do the smoky eye blend, and it's like the same... These women are explaining the same technique, but it's like 8 different videos on the same thing. It's like, well,
How can there be that many ways to do it?
Isn't that what all of YouTube is? Is 100 people explaining the same thing
That's
on YouTube?
What Pinterest is, man.
Hmm. It, I also don't do that.
It's an, I do it for like for Grok Tag and Crush Tag. Mm-hmm. And there's five or six. Like, you see one for like Halloween. There's a lot of crafts for food for kids, like witchy pretzel brooms.
Oh, that's fun.
It's fun until you see it 12 times. And you're like, so people just take that idea. They see a pin and they go, I'm just going to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll take a picture of it
and
then post it.
And it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God. But I guess that's the world. Like, people just take an idea and they copy it. And then that's how you get 11 million different beer podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
1,000 ways to make a yeast starter.
That's how you get a bunch of craft breweries opening up in the state of California.
That's true,
that's
man.
Prolific.
That's true. Speaking of that, Green Flash is dead, right?
Speaking of the opposite
of that. Right. Yeah, sponsored by it.
That's too bad, man. They're old.
And they dragged Alpine down with them, unfortunately.
Bought them out, and I'm curious to see what to find out what happened. I mean, I know it wasn't because people weren't buying their beer. Maybe it was. I don't know. But
well, it's a standard model. Like, I mean, it's like where you would expand, and now you have this big payment at the bank, and now you can make a lot more beer. But you're not doing that yet, nor are you selling a lot more beer to bring in the money to make the payments. And they got behind at the bank.
Yeah,
I don't know how many months. Probably like 9-12 months behind at the bank.
Yeah,
and the bank goes like, no, this isn't working for us. Our board of directors said, we have rules. We cannot let you continue. We're foreclosing on you. And that means that they own all the assets that were written as far as collateral for the loan.
Good luck selling that equipment at a top price, man. Everything is super cheap right now.
Well, then somebody bought it for like, I don't know, 2 point something million. It's probably probably worth like four or five or something like that as a, you know, running brewery.
Yeah, I thought I read they had like $20 million in debt or something to Bank of America.
Yeah. Because they just opened up that Virginia Beach location.
Yeah. That's a separate transaction, but
Not a part of the 20
million. It must be another LLC. Mm. It's also in the mix. It's just going to be a separate sale auction.
Mm.
Crazy.
You'll be able to buy the place.
Wow.
Crazy time. What a time to be alive, man.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of people having way too much of an optimistic picture of how craft is going to go.
That's
I don't
true.
See how it pencils out. I can say you can rent. I mean, yeah, part of like doing it would be so we got to this many months of payments.
Right.
Because you know you can't ramp up that quick. There's no, it doesn't pencil out in any spreadsheet.
Yeah, it seems like there had to be problems before they even bought that. I mean, mismanagement or something. Like, that's a lot of, you don't forecast that you can do this thing, make a $20 million loan, and then suddenly, oh, I can't do it, and I fumbled it.
Well, and
right?
going...
I mean, I don't know.
You expand thinking, I can sell that beer. I mean, you got to be really confident.
Yeah.
It's a multi-million dollar thing, and you got to convince the bank that you can do this.
But also, when was the last time you saw a Green Flash on tap anywhere in the last five years?
Yeah, right. I haven't had one for years.
Well, and going from 5,000 barrels production to 10,000 barrels production is a lot of work, and it is more, but it's nothing close to going from 50,000 barrels to 100,000 barrels. And so, because people in that situation haven't done it before, it's just like, well, we doubled in size before many times. How hard could this one be?
Yeah.
It's true.
It's how hard the payment is. The payment got it.
Yeah.
Okay, this show and every session is brought to you, of course, by More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com and get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home, like the Robo Brew, which is the easiest way to brew all grain. It's made from stainless steel, and you can make 9 gallons of beer in one vessel. Speaking of 9 gallons of beer, you need to ferment that much beer, so why not buy the Fermentosaurus Plastic Conical, which has a 9-gallon capacity and will hold up to 35 PSI. So check them out. Everything like we just mentioned and what and stuff and more over at morebeer.com. They bring the show to you so you don't have to pay for it.
Nice setup.
Nice.
9 and 9, huh?
I wish I had a pressurizable fermenter when I homebrewed.
Oh, when you homebrewed.
Right. Well, especially the 35, so you can push into a keg.
Oh, yeah.
We can do lagers at room temperature.
Right.
Really? No, you can subdue the yeast enough.
Under pressure. Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't be that as good as cold. But
goddamn right, okay. Tasty.
You could slow the fermentation.
You could make a high pressure ale at 35 psi.
It could be carbonated before you even get fermented
using lager yeast.
Hold on, let me mess with the chat. This is Bev. I like telling him that I'm Bev.
Oh.
Okay, Warren. Do we happen to have a Twitter game?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't have a way to put it on Twitter.
Oh, shit.
But I could just tell people what
it
is.
So I got to do it? Okay, hold on. Let me... What is it? You go ahead and tell people. And okay. If I like it, I'll tweet it out.
Okay. So the Twitter game might be... it depends if it's good enough.
Yeah.
Justin and I are planning on road tripping up to Portland for NHC this year. I have a job, and so I need to come back afterwards, but Justin is just heading out on the road. And so I was wondering if anybody had some good tips for Justin on where he needs to go on his wandering.
That's a stupid game. That's not a game.
Okay.
That's just looking for recommendations, Warren.
Well, maybe Justin asked me to look for recommendations for where he should go after NHC.
Put a twist on it, because you can't win. There's no win. It's just...
What unusual...
Where's the... Yeah.
Or make-believe places.
Where's the best place for Justin to go after NHC on his road trip, on his meandering road trip?
Going to say to come to Salt Lake and have a beer at my pub or something, I don't know, whatever. They're going to be
you think,
really
do you think the listeners are that boring?
Yeah, pretty
not
much.
That they're boring, but it's a game. I mean, there needs to be like a winner. Like, how would we determine who wins if someone says, go to the Straw Hat on 3rd and 11th? Yeah. They have the best craft beer selection, and it's all tan whales. Like, would they win?
If all the other answers were worse than that.
You can't win at that, man. Well, it's not
okay,
winning.
Fine.
It's not a game.
It's a Twitter survey tonight.
Yeah, but we need to have a winner. How do you pick a winner from a survey?
I can choose between my Salt Lake guy and your guy with the nasal issue.
Right. We vote on the best place that we think Justin should go. Hey, if you don't want to type it, it doesn't have to happen.
Passing through the board of directors here, it looks like.
Yeah, I need to. I was trying to think about how to help you make an entertaining game.
It's way too late.
It's just one idea to make it into a game.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a fine idea, but like, what? What? I don't know. How will Justin prepare for such a long road trip? That's a game.
Yeah. What would he do?
What? And if someone says, well, he should go buy groceries.
Well, but at least we could choose, because then there's an answer that will give you an opinion or not, right? It's not just...
Well, that's the same as the Straw Hat on 3rd.
No, it's not.
It's slightly better. Like, hire an intern to drive or something.
Yeah. There you go. That's how you win.
What a bum.
Yeah.
Fine. I mean, if you guys want to play that game...
That's the operative word here. It's not a survey.
What does Justin need to do to prepare for his long road trip?
The funniest one wins.
See, that's kind of...
Not like, chip the air into tires and...
I stand by my idea.
Well, really, we're not considerably better.
Here's the Twitter game. Twitter game tonight. Oh, Twitter game tonight. Who's Twitter game tonight? Brought to you by probably... who? Well, Beer Listeners Feedback, which I almost forgot about. I don't know. Beer Law Center. Go to johnsbeerlawcenter.com. And, if you want to protect your patent or your trademark, I think it's more trademark, or if you want to file for a trademark, or if you're opening a brewery or a winery or doing anything in the booze world, or if you want to buy a book with the best GD forward in the history of self-help law books, he has a book out, too. So check it out, johnsbeerlawcenter.com. Today's Twitter game, why is Warren so vanilla? That's the game, and so let me know why Warren is the most boring human on the face of the world, and we will we'll get back to you on that.
I could see how you worked my idea in to that game.
Well, not everything, yeah. I tried. Warren, I tried, and it was the best. It was the best that I could do.
Yeah,
and
you really polished that turd.
I really did. I really did. Okay, let's do some feedback here. What do you guys think?
Sure.
This is from Guillermo, and he says, hey guys, I love the show. I'm still new to brewing and still doing extract. I just finished listening to the adjunct show and have a question. If I don't have a handful of grain to add to the mini mash to help the conversion of my adjunct, can I use some extract? And how much? Thanks in advance, guys. Keep up the work and brew strong. Oh, that was probably a brew strong, Bruce Strong question, but,
I
don't remember the adjunct show.
I wasn't on that.
That's got to be Bruce Strong, right? I think Justin's
saying... Yeah, we didn't do an adjunct show right here. I would have learned something. I don't remember doing that. I need to listen to that Bruce song.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that there's...
Talking about adding amylase or something?
No, he's talking about just adding extract instead of grain to convert some sort of thing, but I don't think you can because there's no enzymes in the extract.
I don't think malt extract has active enzymes.
Read the question.
Enzymes.
The very last thing, what was the... When you went to the question...
Let me see.
He was hoping to swap out a handful of grain with a little bit of malt extract to replace the enzymes from the grain.
Yeah, he never mentioned the word enzymes. He also doesn't mention what adjunct he's using.
Right.
Which I think is, you know.
Well, in making the extract, all the enzymes have been neutralized.
Right.
Sorry. Exactly. Yeah, with the malt extract.
There's nothing in there.
Right.
No enzymes. It's like zero enzymes.
So, no, Guillermo. But it sounds like you're not listening to this show because we'll talk about shit like that.
The guys that know the answers.
Here's the answer that you'll never hear.
Right. Here's another one. This is from TJ. He says, I have a question about storing wort for yeast starters. Recently, I overshot my pre-boiled gravity and had to drain some 1050 unboiled wort and replace with water to compensate. I was wondering if I could store that wort in a sanitized mason jar and keep it in the fridge for future yeast starters. I know there's a concern for botulism, but if I'm boiling the starter wort for 15 minutes, is that still a concern? Thank you for doing what you guys do. I love the shows, except when JP is there.
Whoa.
So that happened to me, and I'm going to talk to my therapist about that later.
Well, if he's talking about boiling it, essentially canning the extra wort, that should be fine. And you shouldn't have to worry about botulism.
You just got to worry about the yeast, you know, how they're stored, how they may, you know, suffer.
Well, no, he's talking about storing wort. So he had...
Storing the wort itself.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, storing the wort itself.
No, it should last a really long time if it's septic, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, with proper canning techniques, you can can that. And
no difference
than
going
to
the grocery store and buying some beef broth in a can and a... You know, septic boxes. It's on the shelf.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Should be fine.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. This is, that's spam. Here's one from Matt Moreno. It's entitled Getting Old with the BN. So this will make us all feel real good. Past 10 years ago, I turned in for an episode 1 of the BN. I was an extract brewer with somewhat shitty results. Every month, I got some new things to try. For full wort boils, which is always hard for me to say, full wort boils, all grain, batch sparge, fermentation fridge, you can't stop now, Herms with double chugger, B-A-I-A-B to mash in a bag, starters, no starter, blah, blah, blah. I'm also one of the three guys who orders the one-hour boil. I don't know what that is.
Orders it?
Orders the one-hour boil.
Is it a product?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. God bless you. I hope you love it. I hope you love the one-hour boil.
I feel jealous.
You're paying for it. You might as well. Now I'm old as shit, he says, and I've listened to the Sierra Nevada show, which is interesting because I was drinking Sierra Nevada as a religion when I started listening to you guys. Now I have to listen to Justin bitch about his vision, which I now do too, and you old guys explained the regression of vision. So I just ordered my first glasses from Warby Parker. See, there you go.
Oh.
They're cheap, man. I'm telling you. And I'm expecting to experience some shit from the progressive lenses because, like batch sparging, I'm expecting a change in efficiency. Thanks for helping with all parts of my life. These guys should sponsor your show since many original listeners are now old.
That's true.
That's SoCal Surfer in the chat room. Does anybody go to the forum still, do you think?
Once in a while, I'll end up.
You pop
not,
in.
Not just because I think I'll be searching on something. And it'll be a topic. It's on the forum. I'm not going there to check and see if there's.
Yeah, I end up there a couple times that way also.
There's a lot of content there.
Just searching the general internet.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, there's some information out there that's worth reading.
Well, there you go. God bless it. This is called Fantastic Festival. This is from Dave Henry. He says, my wife and I flew down to California from British Columbia to hang at the Hop Grenade and go to the Spring Brews Festival. What a great place and an amazing time. We had tons of fun at the tap room. I got to meet all kinds of fun people. Concord is a really cool city. Okay.
D.C. must be kind of like boring.
It was a really cool city. Very violent. We felt unsafe, and it was like violent tourism. No, I'm joking.
So they did actually get to see Concord.
Yeah.
They finally got there.
Yeah.
Not as much dog poop on the ground as Bev talks about. The festival was one of the best that we've ever attended, and we're already planning for next year.
It was good, by the way.
It was great meeting and hanging out with all the brewcasters except JP, and I'm still recovering from closing down Vinny's bar.
Ooh, bad mood.
Anyhow, we'll see some of you at HomebrewCon, and if anyone plans to come up to the Vancouver area and try some beers, let me know. So there you go.
Yeah, I enjoyed meeting him as well.
Yeah, it was good hanging out with him.
Well, both of you hang out. I didn't hang out with anybody.
You weren't there, were you?
Well, right.
Fuck no. Yeah. I was at home, dude.
You hung out with two people. The same two people.
We figured you weren't going to be there.
The same two people. What did I do? No, but Dave Malavov came by.
Oh, right.
He drove some of the beer that he and I did. He drove it up and saw my kid and hung out with me and gave me beer. And it was a good time all around, man.
Wow.
Didn't he come on his bike?
Mm-hmm.
You brought the beer on his
bike? He strapped a 7-gallon keg.
No, really?
Yeah, it wasn't full. There's like a gallon left.
Oh, I
but
see
he,
that is it.
But Dave doesn't care about his own personal safety, so it feels like it would be an unbalanced load to carry. But
well,
Dave. But you know, he doesn't give a shit. I told him, I was like, you know what I'm going to do to make like my nest egg? I'm going to take an insurance policy out on you.
Oh yeah,
because he's gonna kill himself unintentionally or otherwise. Well, at some point.
And if he got pulled over with a partially emptied keg on a motorcycle, is that an open container?
No, it's resealed.
Just because it's not leaking out, you can't just screw a cap back on a liquor bottle and be like, "Well, officer, the cap's on it."
Can you imagine if he actually got a ticket for open container
with a partial
and you have to go to court to fight that? I'm on a motorcycle. What am I going to do? Reach back and tap it real fast?
Hey,
officer.
Hey, he was motorbiking up in Oregon with a fermenting beer in the back that actually could have been drank.
It's true.
While he was going.
Anyway, that was feedback. I'm glad the fest was good. It sounds like it was a fun time.
Put me down for $50,000 in that life insurance.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Especially now. That kid's going through some stuff. We're actually going to talk to him. When are we going to talk to him? I know Bev is working on his thing. May. Let me look at the calendar
here. Is it 15th?
It might be, homie.
But that was the first year 14th. The fest sold out. So there was something like 3,500 people in the little square in Concord.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's cool. May 14th, we're going to talk about distributors. And, you know, look, Dave's gone through some shit.
Loved by all.
You know, right? a bitch sesh.
Right. You know,
everybody loves a distributor.
We're going to get a lot of scoops here, let me just tell you. Speaking of a good time, everybody, if you're going to be in Fort Collins, Colorado, at the other Hop Grenade, there's something going on April 28th that's called the Beer Fight Club 6, Fort Collins. And let's see, it says 8 awesome Colorado craft breweries will compete in the second regional competition of 2018 in Colorado's most exciting blind tasting competition, where you are the judge with live voting at the event. Enjoy unlimited tasters from Weldworks, Funkworks, a lot of working going on, Snowbank, Verboten, Black Bottle, Max Line, Wiley Roots, and Equinox during the event for just $25.
Equinox.
That's kind of cool, a blind tasting, and then you pick your favorite.
Pick your favorite. That way you don't have to worry about, like, brand, you
right.
know, taint or what a brand creep or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
Bias, yeah. Brand bias.
Brand bias.
That's if I was at least told what styles of beer I was paying $25 for, I'd be into that.
Oh!
When you go to do the drinking, I'm sure it says it's an IPA.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah.
Give you that. So I guess it's time.
Well, or just like, which do you like better?
And, well, like, well, that one's nice and dark. I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah.
No, I'm sure they give you that. Now, that, of course, you got to be careful how they name them. If you got some weird beer that only Funkworks does.
I mean, sure,
you're
going to
probably pick their beer out pretty quick. Well, I think they do a...
Depending on the lineup.
I think once in a while they do a clean beer. I think they did a collab with Sully for a clean beer.
Oh, okay.
Funkworks. But, because, I mean, if they come up, you know, the sour beer, they're the only ones that do sours.
And, yeah, that would give it away.
I accidentally posted the Twitter game to the Hop Grenade Twitter.
All right.
Because no one logged out. I don't know. What do you want me to do? And, like, I put, like, twitter.com/TheBrewingNetwork, so it came up with the Brewing Network profile, but in the corner, there's no differential that says otherwise.
Because it was still the Hop Grenade's account.
I had no idea. Yeah. So.
Great. Now I'm embarrassed amongst all of the Hop Grenade followers.
Right. I'm sure you'll survive. Anyway, April 28th, Beer Fight Club 6. Check it out. Should be cool. You can go. There's a Facebook event page for to get tickets. You can go to eventbrite.com, and I'm sure search Beer Fight Club 6, and you'll find all the information forthwith. Okay. Let's take a break, everybody. Let me go to playlists here and get the things up, the John's up, the John. I would talk about my kid, but you know, we got a show to do. Everybody, let's just calm down a little.
Right. Just follow his Instagram.
Sweet Tooth Preschool.
Follow my Instagram, bro. Major Jit with two P's, because you know you got to bring that P every now and then.
And then bring it again.
Well, when you're changing as many diapers as I am, there's a lot of P's.
You're actually doing that, huh?
A couple different kinds of P's.
All the time.
You made the change, huh? All the time. You're like, you made it, I'll get that. Get out of the way.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm changing tons of dirty diapers.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm ready for when Aaron gets old. Pissing himself. Okay. Let's take a break, everybody. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Dave from, what the hell is it called? I forget, dude. Suds.
Suds and Duds Society.
Thank you very much. And then we're going to be speaking with our guest from Escutcheon Brewing. This is The Session, everybody. Hang on, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer?
They make beer.
Watch out! Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch
Do
out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff. Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Before we get to our first guest here, I do want to let you guys know, of course, about the mighty, mighty White Labs. If you're headed to the Craft Brewers Conference, which is Monday, April 30th, well, that's before the conference kicks off anyway, so right. It's late April, early May, I guess. There's a Yeast Handling for Brewers class in Nashville, Tennessee, which is where the CBC is, of course, where you'll take an in-depth look at how to best harvest and store yeast for optimal performance. You can explore various fermentation-related topics, such as preparing yeast for pitching, what to expect when repitching, which is obviously very important for you to know what the hell is going to happen after you do the thing, techniques for reliable brewery propagation, and how to troubleshoot fermentation issues related to poor yeast handling practices. You can learn more about the event by visiting whitelabs.com/education.
Yeah.
Which seems highly relevant.
Does it say what time that is? I can go to that. I'll go get the website.
You can go to whitelabs.com/education.
I'll be in town. I'll go.
Yeah. I went and did that before the Portland CBC, and it was a great day. Learned a lot. Awesome. And if you're going to sit through a whole day conference listening about yeast or listening to people talk about yeast,
yeah,
it's best to do it from these people.
I would agree. I'm actually disappointed I'm not going to Nashville this year. I just basically wanted to go hang out at Yazoo Brewing and eat hot chicken. That's all I want to do.
Oh, yeah?
The two things I wanted to do.
Those don't happen at the same place.
They might. I don't know.
Well,
I'll talk to Brandon and see. I doubt it. That's all I wanted to do, and yeah. I can't do it, and now I'm sad.
Don't worry. I'll eat your hot chicken for you.
You would, too.
I will.
Anyway, Dave, are you there, my friend?
I am, JP. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I got a cold beer in my hand on a Monday night.
Hey, we're about to have a cold beer here too. As soon as Bev gets with the program here, and
that would be great if we had a cold beer in our hand.
I'm glad.
Shut up! You literally have a beer sitting in front of you. You dirty whore.
Well, he said cold beer. His beer is room temperature.
Is that my fault?
Anyway. Dave, thanks for joining us, man. Tell me a little bit about Suds Duds Society, my friend.
So Suds Duds Society is a brewery t-shirt membership where members receive a brewery t-shirt, promo item, and a homebrew recipe from a different brewery each month.
Oh, wow. So you get a homebrew recipe as well. That's pretty cool, man.
It's a scaled-down recipe of one of their commercial brews.
That would be 100% correct, Beardy.
Wow.
Oh, did you hear that?
So I can get
that was
like
100% correct.
Was that the first time ever?
Yeah, if only we recorded
He's
this.
He's only ever gotten partial credit for it.
Right.
Partial credit.
Sorry, that's 99% correct.
Thank you. It could be 100%, but there's a 1% margin of error. So, yeah. You're all right.
Just like the Twitter game, right?
There you go. That's absolutely correct. So that's there's nothing like this on the market. Like that's a unique idea. You're the first, right? You gotta be.
There's a few out there, but the promotional item and the homebrew recipe is unique, as well as there's gonna be a West, a Midwest, a South, and a Northeast brewery represented in a 4-month rotation. So it's gonna be nationwide.
Wow. How do you put that together? That seems like a lot of infrastructure to set up to make it super cool like that.
When I first started homebrewing about 6 years ago, ended up winning a few awards and maintaining some connections to the professional brewing community. And I started Hobby House Supply Company, which provides branding and labeling products to microbreweries. Just fell in love with working with breweries, their brands, and designing it. So I decided to put the two together and start giving the brands to the end consumer for the breweries.
Wow. Seems pretty simple, man.
Yeah. How often do you get a recipe and a t-shirt if you're a subscriber?
Each month.
Yes.
So, payments are collected on the first, packages go out on the 15th. So I'm guess depending on where you are, I'm in Southern California, it'd be two to three business days for shipping.
Wow. I like that, man. There's a lot of these, like, you know, Loot Crate is one of them. There's a lot of these kind of, like, monthly subscription things. But this is the first one that I would actually consider signing up for. Because a lot of them, you just get a bunch of crap, like, especially Loot Crate, where it's, like, for nerds. And you get, here's a T-shirt from a random, like, a random comic book that you may or may not have ever read. Here's a plastic toy, and here's a thing, and here's all this kind of stuff. But that's not what beer drinkers want, especially home brewers. If you're a home brewer, you give me a recipe. Give me something to do, you know, and check it out. And you get some swag with it, too. That's pretty
good.
Here's
a free idea. And you could also sell an extract kit to go with it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tasty, that's going to be on the horizon.
There you go.
It's already in the works.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm surprised.
I started sponsoring a few people that hadn't homebrewed before on Instagram. And I've been getting some really good feedback. A lot of the, actually, the majority of them have been females.
Nice.
Good looking ones at that.
Well, there you
and,
go.
And they've been brewing 1 gallon batches and just been enjoying it. And I think they caught the bug. So,
yeah, if you're going to put in the work, you might as well brew 5 gallons at a time. Let's go.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not gonna sponsor a newbie with a 5 gallon batch for the first time.
Oh, I see.
Make sure they're gonna want
to
enjoy it.
Got it. Okay, my apologies. I thought that they were brewing 1 gallon at a time. And you're like, hey, let's let's step it up a little bit. But I like that you get them hooked with the 1 gallons, and then we can go from there.
That's it.
Got it. Okay, got it. I'm on the page now, Dave. I'm on the page.
is this like?
Well, you know, it's probably the dad brain working a little bit.
Oh,
and
geez,
by the way, congratulations on being a father.
Much. Thank you very much. I'll send you some photos of my child. She's a beautiful child.
And a T-shirt.
And a T-shirt to go with the child.
She is.
It'll be a puke or poop stained T-shirt. That's all she does on dad.
Well, there should have been a T-shirt in the package I sent you guys, so you could always swap it out with the Suds Duds.
I will do that. Yeah, thanks for the gear, man. I like the pins too. Those pins are pretty high quality, man. Those lapel pins or whatever.
So the pin is actually an incentive, and if you enroll in April for the 6 month recurring membership, you get a Suds Up Society pin.
Nice. Yeah, there's Suds Up's enamel pin. So the 1 month recurring membership gets you the koozie. The 6 month gets you the pin.
Correct.
12 months, you get the T-shirt, which are soft T-shirts. And by the way, thank you for making soft T-shirts. I am sick and tired of the Hanes beefy tees. Like, I'm not going to be, you know, rolling around on the ground on my shirt. Like, I don't need it. You know, I need it.
No,
I need it light.
Yeah. Wear light. I wear a hoodie in the wintertime. Light shirts all the time.
Your beefy days are behind you.
That's right. My beefy days are done, man.
I'm a light. Yeah.
The beefy tees exfoliate your skin because they're so rough.
Yeah. They really do. I don't know. I don't understand people who that and like work shirts. I don't know. I'm not a work shirt guy either. I just give me a soft T-shirt.
Yeah,
if I'm cold,
guy.
I'll bundle up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll cuddle next to the warm.
I rarely work, so I don't want to work.
Yeah.
Is the subscription like Blue Apron in that you get to pick what brewery swag and recipe you get, or is it dealer's choice?
It is a dealer's choice. So I choose the West, Midwest, South, and Northeast brewery each 4 months, and the design is going to be unique to each brewery. So even if you've purchased swag or merchandise from this particular brewery, it's going to be highlighted. It's going to be different.
You're not going to have that shirt already.
Good.
Oh, nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool, man, because especially, you know, it's these smaller breweries that don't have national distribution, you get to sample what they're doing. I mean,
you're
the only
guy in town
that's making
got
it,
the
but
shirt. I mean, I sounds like, you know, unless you're selling hundreds of thousands of these things, they're going to be rare shirts.
Even then, yeah. But I like, I don't know, man, I really enjoy.
Well, I would certainly like to sell on it.
Yeah. Well, I threw out a big number because I wanted to be facetious. I mean,
yeah.
You probably think you'll sell 1,000.
But I like getting to be dialed in on regional ideas for beer recipes, stuff that you'll probably never get to try because, well, they're regional. Unless you're traveling to these specific breweries, this is the best way to do it.
Well, and if they
like
the recipe.
Well, it's kind of a cool idea, too, because you can, I mean, if you do go to that particular region or that particular state or city.
Rolling with their shirt.
And you have their shirt or you've heard about them, like, you're going to be more apt to go and visit them when you're in the area.
Yeah,
good idea.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what do we get? We're drinking beers right now. Is this what we get with the first highlighted brewery?
Well, so I know you guys love firsthand information,
yes.
So I decided to actually give you firsthand information and not go to like a different podcast or magazine and go dish it to someone else.
Someone exclusive.
Yeah, here we go. We got a scoop,
exclusive.
Everybody. Finally.
You sit down for this.
So the first highlighted brewery is going to be Benchmark Brewing out of San Diego.
Okay.
So Matt
awesome.
And Rachel Atkin, which are actually friends and buddies of... friends over at Society, Travis and Dougie.
Oh, cool. That's great.
And so I sent you guys over their IPA and their oatmeal stout.
Awesome. Yeah, that oatmeal stout was good, man. And this IPA, yeah. It's I seen your notes, it's 5.1%, which is great. I'll drink that IPA all day.
Yeah. Is that
the majority of their core beers are actually lower ABV, very, well, sessionable. I know I don't necessarily like the term session IPA either, but they're lower ABV, so you can actually have a few and actually be able to drive or function instead of having, you know, the IPA up into the 7.5-8% where it's just going to knock you down after one.
That's a great solution
for sure.
A tough challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get the recipes for these, man. These are I would take these recipes for sure.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
The oatmeal stout is actually special to my heart. I actually love that one out of all of them, and it won GABF. I think it's what, silver. Silver in 2016 and session beer in 2014. It was a gold for session beer at GABF.
Wow,
that's a hard category.
It's got a lot of flavor for that.
Yeah, beer. Absolutely. Awesome.
And Matt was actually the head brewer at was it Alesmith? When they won small brewery of the year in 2008, mm-hmm. I believe it was.
Okay. So he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing around brewing, that is for sure.
Right. Well, Dave, where can people go to get more information?
So you can follow Sud Dud Society at Sud Dud Society. The website is suddudsociety.com.
Okay.
And for all those BN listeners, don't forget to use promo code BNARMY at checkout for your discount.
There we go. That's
nice.
The code, folks. BNARMY. SudsDudsSociety.com, right?
Thanks for the deal.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone go there and sign up now. You get a lot of cool stuff. And sign up for the long run, too. This is not going to be something that you're going to be disappointed in. You get an awesome homebrew recipe for beers that you've never had.
Yeah.
Expand yourself a little bit. Have a word with yourself and sign up.
I'd be excited if I got this caliber of beer recipes sent to me.
Yeah.
It's a great starting point,
right?
Especially if I'm learning.
Well, because what's your other choice right now? Is you go online and you look on a forum about, like, here's Backwood Ted's barley wine, and it's like, oh, well, you don't know if that's any good or not. But if there's a company out there making this recipe and selling the beer, it's chances are that it's not going to be just some weird-ass homebrew.
Right.
That's your tagline. Suds Dud Society. Not some weird-ass shit.
Yeah, or beefy tea.
I'm going to trademark that.
Please do.
From EJP.
All right, I get 10% annually. all right, Dave,
Fair
I appreciate
enough.
It, man. Thanks a lot for coming on and letting us know about this.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, dude, we'll talk to you.
All right, have a good night.
You too. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
So I'm stupid.
Well, probably, but why? Why this time?
I've been trying to search his website. For, like, I don't know, about 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it was not coming up. A laundromat kept coming up, and I was like, what the heck?
Such your duds.
Well, I was also typing in society the stupid way that society spells society.
How do you even know how they spell? I mean, could you spell that off the top of your head? I couldn't. There's no way.
Yeah, I
could. Yeah, because I'm that bad at spelling in my brain. That's how you spell society. Apparently, I was wrong.
I need this glass partition in between our offices, Bev, to like to roll down so I can wing fucking coasters at your big walnut head. What is wrong with you?
Oh,
at least I provide comedy relief.
You're precious.
Thank you.
Rest your head, Ben.
Night-night.
Rest your head.
We're with you, seriously.
It's fine. Did you get all the issues working on the John or what?
Yes. When the computer restarted, it changed my settings, so I had to I had to call Justin. He had to help me.
Wow.
Oh, Justin, good.
I did.
Nice. Well, that's cool, I guess.
Wow. Now he knows.
Now he knows. She knows.
It's fine.
She knows.
Somebody was going to figure it out.
That's true. All right, we're going to get John on the line here, but before we do that, or as we do that, let's talk about Great Fermentations. You all know that they have the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web, and their staff is some of the best trained in the business in using Blickman products. They offer top-notch customer service and same-day shipping on many items. Check them out at greatfermentations.com. Be sure to like them on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of the places at gr8fermentation.com. That's greatfermentations.com. All right, John, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Yourself?
Perfect. Before we get too far into the show, say the name of your brewing company, please.
The name of the brewing company is Escutcheon Brewing Company.
Escutcheon Brewing Company. Okay, I will get that right.
That's S-K-U-T-C-H.
Escutcheon.
All right.
Yeah, it's a long and tough one, but...
Yeah, well, you know, hey, it's is it a regional thing, or how did you pick that name?
No, the owner of the brewery is a merchant marine, so he went to the Merchant Marine Academy.
Oh, wow.
So everything kind of, from the brewery standpoint, has a nautical theme. So an escutcheon is actually the, the old maritime ships, they had the name of the ship and border, or etched in a piece of wood on the back of the ship.
Yeah, yeah.
That piece of wood is an escutcheon.
Gee, wow. See, now, that I like. I like just the weird, like, the weird names of breweries.
Yeah.
If there's a story behind it, and you learn something. Because how many movies and comic books and all the things that you see, the name of the ship, like, float after a shipwreck or whatever?
Yeah.
Now you know what it is.
It's an escutcheon.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm liking the name from a 7 to a 9 really quick.
Yeah, for sure.
With a backstory, you know?
Right. I like that. That's pretty cool. So how long have you been there, John?
I've been here since the beginning, so the brewery's is 3 years old now. Actually, real soon to now is 3 years, so I was there from the startup. So,
oh wow, that's cool. How did you get hooked up with the people over there?
I met the owner trying to start another brewery here in my hometown of Winchester. We just kind of met. We were in the same area. Got to be good friends, and then one night we were drinking at the bar, and said, "Oh, you know, we've consumed so much beer, we might as well pay the world back and make some." So we just went from there, and here we are.
Wow, I like the pay it forward aspect. Even we're like
after the fact.
Yeah, we've taken so much from the world. Let's provide
the
world with some tasty beers. And you're in Virginia, right? Winchester, Virginia.
Yes, sir. Winchester, Virginia.
All right. Are you a lifelong Virginian?
I am born and raised.
Nice. How's the weather out there? You guys getting frozen over, or are you missing all that now?
Yeah, it's been a very squirrely spring. It was snowing this morning, and it's still pretty chilly outside. So.
Jeez. Uh-huh.
But it's spring in the East Coast, so.
So what are you gonna do?
get used to it.
Right.
Take the bad with the bad.
Right. How's the tourist dollar over there? I don't know. Forgive me. I don't know much about Winchester, but is it a big tourist town, or do people come for you and then the town is secondary for them?
So yes, it's we're probably without traffic. We're about 45 minutes from D.C., 45 minutes to an hour from D.C. without traffic, mind you.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so through time, yes, people have started coming out more and more to the Shenandoah Valley to visit for tourist destinations. The more and more breweries that start up, the more and more wineries that start up, more and more people come out. So it's getting the flow of traffic into the valley here has gotten more and more since I've been a child. So.
Okay. Man, you're talking like you're from the Bay Area out here, because everything is always with the caveat of without traffic.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's how it is, man. And then in L.A., it's just everyone knows to factor traffic in. So it's, you know, you're just kind of, we're not there yet, but you sound like you're parallel with us on that regard.
L.A., there is no without traffic.
True. And here we have without.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it statistically, D.C.'s, between D.C., L.A., and Boston, and New York, they're always the worst.
Oh,
yeah.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So we have on the show notes that your favorite style, or at least the one that you're most excited about, is something that I would never have guessed because nobody even talks about this style, much less brews it anymore. What is it? Go ahead, please answer.
German Hefeweizen.
Wow.
I remember hearing about that style.
Right, I know, and I and, yeah. And I'm not picking on you. I love it because to me it kind of reflects this resurgence, if you will, of I don't want to say alt beer styles, but like alternate beer styles. It's not hoppy. Right. I mean, it's a little cloudy, so it's it's
Instagram-y.
It fits in right now, right? But it's a style that in the 90s and 80s, that's what I think people got into beer on are Hefeweizen.
No, it's an entry beer. And if you're opening a new brewery, you're going to have new clients. You should have a light beer, golden ale, or a Hefeweizen.
You should, right? Yeah, but. What name another brewery that has brewed a Bavarian Hef or German Hef, and goes like, and then name a brewer that goes, you know what, that's my favorite style. That's what I'm right, super yeah. into right now.
Oh, sure.
Nobody's doing it, and so I really appreciate that because you're not saying IPA.
Yeah.
Like everybody else feels like they have to, which I think a lot of people lie, by the way. When people come on the show and they go, I love brewing IPA. No, you don't. Well, you love selling IPA.
Exactly.
I'll be brutally honest. Brewing an IPA, generally speaking, from a production standpoint, is a little bit easier than brewing a traditional German Hefeweizen. But since it's my favorite beer style, I love making it. It takes me a long time to make, and it's just one of those beers that, I don't know, for a historical standpoint, for me, it's just, it makes me the happiest. So,
nice.
What takes the longest in brewing that beer? You want to give us maybe some pointers on brewing a good half? Because I would love to see more people start brewing these things.
So one of the biggest things, one of the hardest things with my brew house is the process called a ferulic acid rest, where you take your grains, you have to heat them up from basically 135 up to where you'd end up mashing out at, which is 155 or so. Mm-hmm. So it's just a step mash. So just takes, for my brew house, that takes about 3 to 4 hours.
Wow.
Get that temperature raised up in step mashing.
So what's your method there? Are you direct fired? Or, obviously not. You're running it through some sort of restart?
No, it's steam, but I don't. My mash tun isn't jacketed, so I basically have to do a decoction. So I have to pull
wort
into the brew house, boil it, and add it back in phases to raise the temperature up in the entire mash.
You are a dedicated individual to this beer style. I appreciate it even more. If I was like, you know what, I have to do this, and then you kind of get the system, you're like, you got to do a dig. Nope. I will never do that.
Nope. Yeah.
I will never do that.
I do a ferulic rest on my Hefeweizen, but I have a jacketed mash tun, so it takes me 20 minutes.
You have to slow down a little bit.
I wish I could do that, but I can't.
Yeah.
So how do you in a decoction? I've never done one. I've talked about them a bunch and maybe lied to a few people about how to do it. But how do you do a decoction mash in a commercial brewery? I know as a home brewer, you'd pull some out and put it on the stove or something like that.
Get a big stove.
I have 8 Camp Chef.
I do the exact same thing. I just basically run off a known amount of wort into the kettle, turn on the bottom jacket, bring it to a boil, transfer it back, mix the rakes, do that. I guess for me, it's 1, 2. It's 3 pulls. So
okay,
3 pulls. Then I get it to 100. I get it to around 155. Let it sit there, run off. It's a massive pain in the ass.
Is there a reason?
At the end of the fermentation, it's worth every penny.
Yeah, I bet.
Is there a reason that you do it in 3 pulls versus 1 larger pull and then just mixing it all in at once?
Just being a anal tennis prick, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Well, you might be pulling the grain bed down too much, right?
I go from 110 to 135 to 145 to 110, 135, 155.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe he's paid by the hour, so he wants it to take as long as possible.
Yeah, I can see that.
Who knows? And so how are people treating the beer? Are they excited when it comes on tap? Is it something that you keep on all the time or not?
We keep it on year-round now, and it's a very funny reaction. It's one of those love or hate things. People either love it or people absolutely hate it. I guess the people that I see that make me the happiest are expats that spent or veterans that spent a lot of time in Germany, and they'll come in, and I had a couple people who kind of teared up, like, man, I haven't had this in 30 years, man.
Wow.
That's a great compliment.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
But it's received, generally speaking, very well. But the people that don't like it, don't like it. They're like, oh, it's, you know, it's, do you put bananas in it? It's like, no, no bananas in it. It's blah, blah, blah.
So where on the...
But the people that like it really like it.
Where on the banana spice spectrum does yours end up?
Oh, yeah. Give us a spider graph, please.
Yeah.
It's much higher on the banana and a little less on the clove.
Okay.
But for a spider graph,
I was kidding. You don't really have to.
I would say, I'd say one, like, if you were rating on like 1 out of 10,
yeah,
I'd say the clove would be like around a 6. The banana would be close to a 7.
Oh, so close to balance. Pretty even-y. Yeah, that's pretty even-y.
Yeah. I mean,
even-y is a word.
It's not overpoweringly one or the other.
Right. Well, it shouldn't be, and I. But it sounds like it's not one or the other, and they're even, but they're dialed up, like they're there,
right.
They're present.
Mm-hmm.
And I
can't miss it.
Yeah,
can't miss
it. And for me, I would be too afraid on a commercial scale. I'd be like, oh my god, it's maybe we'll make them both a 2,
right?
So they're there, but I guess if you're going to spend 3 hours doing a decoction,
it's going to be there.
Make that beer pop, baby. Let's go. I appreciate that. I really appreciate the attention to detail on that, John. I like that. Do me a favor, John. We're going to take a quick break. See if you can hang on for about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. And then we're going to come back and we're going to taste beers. We have 4 beers, 3 of which Warren and I are very excited about.
Yes.
Because they're, you know, they're lagers. So we're gonna jump on that train. So give us a little bit, if that's right, about 5 minutes.
Take your time.
Cool. All right, John, we'll be right back.
All right.
Cool. All right, everybody, we're going to take, like I said, a quick break, and that was very loud, and we will be back in a second. We will see you on the other side of this jump.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the brewingnetwork.com.
Do you know the 3 most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than 5-Star Chemicals. 5-Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And 5-Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, 5-Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. 5-Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And 5-Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the 5-Star solution. Visit 5starchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the 5-Star treatment today.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20 gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your Brew Easy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller, and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The Brew Easy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your Brew Easy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new Brew Easy.
This is Corey King from Side Project Brewing, and you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Yes, it is the Brewing Network. It is The Session, and you are listening to it. Those are three facts that are undeniable.
The real deal.
Well, the real deal.
They could deny it now if they aren't listening anymore.
But then they would never know to deny it.
Oh, that's true.
See what just happened?
Oh, catch 22.
Right? I got him. I dunked on him right there.
Boom.
Before we get back to John from Escutcheon Brewing, I do want to tell you guys about the iDip, the smart brew water testing kit, which incorporates a revolutionary photometer system, which is the first and only one on the market with its own app. And I believe these guys will be at NHC this year.
Usually are.
Yeah. So go and don't take our word for it. Go mess with it. And like George will probably be there. And, you know, he does a little test for you. You can use the thing. Use four mils of water for this, John.
No, I love talking to those guys.
Oh, it's a good time, man. It pairs via Bluetooth and updates your water results instantly to your own personal water profile, which you can then email to either people in your club, if you're going to do a club brew, or your brewing partner, or your brew team. You can use it on in a commercial application as well. Of course, it doesn't. It just is. It's a tester. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. You don't need to get any more fancier than the iDip for commercial water testing. You can test for over 40 different water quality tests. You can test for things like total alkalinity, chloride, calcium hardness, pH, sulfate, and more. Go to smartbrewkit.com, enter code TBN10 at checkout, and you can save $10 on either the standard or advanced smart brew testing kit. That is smartbrewkit.com. All right, let's get back to John here. John, are you still there?
Still am.
All right, awesome. Before we start tasting the beers, let's back up a little bit. I saw that you went to brew school. You went to beer school. You actually went to school for this. Where did you go?
I went to the Siebel Institute of Technology in Chicago, Illinois.
Nice. How long ago did you get started on your journey towards craft beer brewing?
I graduated Siebel, actually, as you were talking about, at the beginning of the wheat beer craze that would have been 98.
Oh, wow.
I've been professionally brewing beer since 98. Huh?
Did the wheat beer get you into it, or what?
Probably enough, Hefeweizen got me into it.
There we go.
I was hanging out in Germany with my little brother in Munich, and we were just sitting outside drinking beers during Hefeweizen. I was like, man, this is grand. Grand, I tell you. So just from then on, I was like, oh, this is for me. I got it. I'm in.
Awesome.
Fresh Hefeweizen, yes.
And then what led you to opening a brewery? Same thing, I guess, right?
Well, it always been my goal, but being a brewer is... some of you may know, is not a very lucrative position. So I just ended up running into, again, the owner of this brewery, and we got to be friends and started the brewery. So
it just kind of happened like that. Sometimes it happens. It doesn't. Maybe you don't need to jump through a bunch of hoops. You just were like, hey, let's do this. And he's like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Is he also a Hef fan?
Off we go.
Is he also a big fan of German Hef?
Actually, no, he hates wheat beer.
Perfect. So how was that conversation where he's like, hey, you're like, I'm going to spend an extra 3 hours on brew day, leaving the lights on and all that kind of stuff,
right?
And you're going to love it. And he's, what is he, does he care? Does he trust you? I imagine he trusts you.
He trusts me, and he I guess his favorite beer at the brewery is the Vienna Lager, which you have over there today, the Gonic Line.
Okay.
So yeah, he's good taste. With that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's another style that more people need to brew. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Tell him that we're fine with his tastes.
We'll do.
He's like, yeah, that's the last thing
sure
I'm going to do. Yeah. Can you imagine John going to his partner?
It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Can you imagine John going, hey, you know, so these people you don't know said that they're okay with you drinking the beer that you like. Take a swing at John for that one.
That's life-changing.
I know. Thank
those
you.
Guys are really smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a close one.
Yeah. Okay, let's try some beers here. Which beer should we try first, John?
I would say my thought would be lightest to heaviest. So I would start with the 4th-in-1 Pilsner.
Okay, let's do that.
Is that the end one?
Yeah,
Beverly?
That's the very first one I gave you.
I'm calling JP's. He's going
to it'll be in a 16-ounce can.
16-ounce cans, man. Those are the way to go.
Nice.
Little football thing there.
Yeah. And so the name of that, 4th-in-1, I don't know how old you guys are, but so here in the Virginia, D.C., Baltimore area, we at one point had one football team, which was the Washington Redskins, and one famous football player, John Riggins, made a very impressive touchdown run, got him into the Hall of Fame. And the owner knows John Riggins really well, so we paired up with him and made this beer.
Ah, okay.
So that's his signature on the can. The guy
correct.
Named after. Okay.
So it's the John Riggins 4th-in-1 Pilsner.
Yeah, he probably completed a big percentage of those. He was really good. I remember him playing.
Oh yeah?
Well, yeah, yeah. So he actually when we were developing the beer, he showed up. He was like, we wanted to figure out what kind of beer he wanted to do. He was like, all right, I'll come by one day and we'll drink some beers and we'll figure it out. Well, he shows up with probably, I don't know, at least, I'd say 4 to 5 cases of beer.
Whoa.
Pilsners from across the planet. I mean, Europe, a couple of South American ones,
really?
A couple from the U.S.
Wow.
And we drank a good bit of it and figured it out. You have the results.
He signed the can. That's cool.
How does that... So you guys just busted open beers and were like, oh, I like this from this beer and this from this beer? Or was it less involved than that? And how long before you guys threw up on each other?
well, luckily there's no throwing up involved.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I mean, we did precisely that. We said, I'd be like this out of this one, this out of this one. And I just kind of took all the notes that we had collectively, said, okay, this is basically going to be I designed it on Czechoslovakian water and a German grain bill. German grain bill and a German hop bill. So off we went.
Was that way of collaborating a challenge? In my mind, that would be kind of challenging because you're taking someone else's work and trying to take different pieces out of it. But, I'm an idiot, so I don't know how hard that would be for you.
It's not that it's so much hard. The hardest part of that is the water chemistry. Other than that, it was just basically using, because one was on the hop bill, it's pretty easy. All breweries pretty much everywhere use these same hops for Pilsner beer. It's usually Saaz, Czechoslovakian Saaz, Tettnang, or Hallertau.
Right.
Which all three are in that beer. And then the grain for Pilsner is also a no-brainer. It's Pilsner malt, a little bit of carapils, and I throw some caramel 40 in there for color.
Okay. So the hardest part was adjusting the water. Then how did you tackle that? What did you have to do with your water there?
Luckily, I have a RO system, so I can design any kind of water source I want.
There you go.
So I just looked on the old internets.
Oh, shit.
I found Prague's water source.
Just nailed it, huh? All right. Have you heard this a few times, or is this the first run of it?
No, that's been in production for 2 years now.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So people are digging it.
Yeah, and it is tied for our best-selling beer.
Oh, geez. Nice.
Tastes great. I can see why it'd be easy to drink. It's only like 4.4%. That's great malt aroma, which I really like about it.
Yeah.
And it has lots of malt body. Can I get back to the water? What, how would you describe the water after you... What did you do? What was your target water?
Target Water was Prague.
Just sulfate to chloride ratio, for instance.
Pardon me?
You saw how many? What were the sulfates? What were the chlorides in your brewing water?
Oh, the exact numbers I don't remember.
Lean toward chlorides, right? Because I mean, I could tell this is like a very
malt-focused. Good amount of chloride in it, and a little bit of Epsom salt, and a little bit of gypsum, just to balance it all out.
I see. So you can't remember the target. That's fine.
I wish I could, but I don't keep that track. I don't keep that stuck in my head.
Hey, man, water stuff's.
What Excel's for.
Right, exactly.
You got RO, you got to put something in it.
That's what I think, too, man.
Did you guys nail it on the first try right out of the gate, checking all the boxes, or did it take a couple batches to get it where everybody wanted it? Coming from the case of World Pilsners from the World.
Yeah.
It took basically two brews, and then it was done.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I basically adjusted the Carapilsner malt to give me a little more foam and a little more body, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Also, just a minor adjustment.
And now it's just a matter of watching bitterness coming through crop ears and crop ears of malt.
Sure.
Adjusting for extract, basically.
Man, I would love to sit down and have a four-case Pilsner variety pack drinking session.
Oh, yeah.
I would murder Beverly to be able to have that. I mean, that sounds amazing to me.
And I'd be happy to drink those with you.
Tara, you guys are so mean.
Well, we would toast at least one to you.
At least one case would be all toasting Bev.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Who else would do that for you? I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
It sounds like a dream, dude. Yeah. Like, I'd be sitting there going, I can't believe I own my own brewery. I'm brewing Bavarian Hefeweizen for 1,100 hours a day.
Right.
And I'm drinking 49 million Pilsners.
It could be worse.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I would love that. Okay, let's move on to the next one. I would imagine it would be the Kolsch.
That'd be perfect.
Oh, hell yeah. This is Growler Kolsch. Tell us about the Kolsch here, please.
The Kolsch. Is the only beer I got to name because I'm not smart. And my fun bit about that is, so the term growler has, we all from the brewing world know what growler is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from the maritime world, it's a very small iceberg. I got that one stuck in. He said, oh, you can name that. It's my claim to fame at the brewery currently. It's no holds barred, just a standard Kolsch from Cologne. Well, from Winchester, obviously. But.
Yeah. It is confusing that it comes in a 12-ounce can, given its name.
Yeah.
So, same thing. Man. You go to the internet, get the water profile, and then you use your RO and you make water from Cologne.
Yeah.
I like this beer. This has a nice, that classic Kolsch flavor. That yeast.
The only dip from tradition that I went from or kind of veered off from was I used the aroma hop in it is Hull Melon.
Oh yeah, oh, I'd love that hop. That's such a good hop.
Got a little
aroma,
fruity, melony, soft. I think it's a spectacular hop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's delicious, man. We put it in our Vienna lager we did at beer camp, and I've done it a couple times with random Vienna lagers I've made at home, and it puts a little bit of new world spin on things, but still kind of hints at that old world classic. And this is 4.5%. That's right there, man.
Yeah. Nice. It adds another little a layer of complexity to the already fruity yeast character that you get in Kolsch yeast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that hop.
It really is, too, because on some level, it's like, oh, is it like a soft water or that's making this kind of like smooth? This is going to sound weird, but again, I'm stupid. This like soft hop flavor come through. And I wasn't sure.
Yes, that is a soft water.
Yeah, well, but I was like, well, maybe it's just that, but to like kind of soften, subdue the hop flavor. But you said Hull Melon. I was like, that's what that flavor is. It's that's that hop, and you know the aroma, whatever. Yeah, it kind of sweetens everything up, I guess, in a nice hop way. I'm having a hard time explaining how do you describe
the esters in it pair well with the esters in the malt.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a white grape.
Right.
It's like a So it's enzyme pairing kind of.
Yeah, it's that white grape kind of flavor. Sorry, Warren.
Oh, that's fine.
But like a white grape, maybe almost cantaloupe. Kind of a thing,
yeah,
pairing really well with the esters. Yeah, it's and then that's what that is for me, and that's like, oh, now I get it. Sorry,
yeah.
Man, go ahead. I've been cutting you off forever, and
so I was going
to
ask.
I don't really mean to. I just it happens.
I'm about to talk.
So I'm
right
sorry.
Now. Okay,
go ahead.
I was going to ask you what the your process is on the Kolsch. Like, do you lager it? Is it a warm ferment like an ale, or how do you do that?
I ferment at. Primary fermentation at 64 for generally speaking, about 5 days, then 55 for 2 days, 44 for 2 days, 32 for another week and a half. Okay. And then after that week and a half, I just watch for acetaldehyde to diminish and then it goes packaging. So I'm usually anywhere between 3 to 3.5 weeks in and out.
Okay. Is it filtered or centrifuged or anything?
Just a centrifuge.
Okay.
So then there's probably, I don't know how cold you have the cans now, so it should be pretty bright. It should be pretty clear.
Yeah,
you have
definitely
it
clear.
Freezing. Oh, yeah. It will have a chalaze, though.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't get that. It's fairly clear.
Yeah, it's clear.
Yeah, they're not super terribly cold right now, but they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
And refreshing. They've been out for a little bit here on the desk if we took that break.
But temperature rather than
yeah.
I definitely like the Kolsch yeast, whatever strain you're using, kind of adds a little bit of bright white grape kind of acidity to it that makes it a little bit more bright than the Pilsner, which I enjoy.
Yes. Yeah, a little more crisp.
Is it a house strain or are you using one of the commercially available Kolsch strains?
It's a house strain.
Okay. Did you fly it over from Bavaria? Or, I guess, Germany, not Bavaria.
Cologne?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Sounds nice. Like there's some secrets there, John.
Yeah. The best culture.
Yeah, well, the one thing that makes the house is its yeast, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's definitely true. I like that.
Yeah.
Kolsch style a lot. That's what I was saying. And like, a lot of these beers, I was excited to read the list because... They're styles that hardly anybody really ever sends, and if they do, they don't do them well. So this I'm very excited about this rundown.
I think I can drink it your place.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Well, if you guys ever make it out to the East Coast, please come by.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. Sorry, John, I cut you off. What were you about to say?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It's probably something stupid.
Yeah. Join the club, man. I understand it's late there. We'll get you going here in just a sec. But let's move on down the line to possibly the greatest style to ever been invented, the Vienna-style lager.
Can't agree with you anymore on that one.
So this one is... what is this one called?
That is the Agonic Lion Lager.
The Agonic Lion Lager.
For all intents and purposes, it's a classic Viennese style lager. The only difference is my second favorite beer of all times is Negro Mandelo, fresh in Mexico.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So the water for that is designed after Mexico City's original water source.
Oh,
there
you go.
Not Vienna's water.
Mm-hmm. Screw Vienna.
Nine. It is very Negro Mandelo. Esque.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of Vienna lagers will kind of hit that, even though they'll say, oh, it's kind of like Negro Modelo. But this is, I'm trying to say, lighter body than a craft American style version of a Vienna lager, I guess. I've never had like a true, but I drink a lot of Negro Modelo, and this has that exact.
No,
body
similar,
to it.
Similar.
Yeah,
it's the volcanic water they have in Mexico City.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So what is
and
that?
If you ever get a chance, you're in Mexico City. Go to that brewery; it's awesome.
Oh my god, I would love to.
Yeah,
so how do you replicate volcanic water?
That again is just a matter of. So again, I wish I'm not prepared. I don't have my numbers in front of me, but
that's all right.
Yeah, you can get just random, ballpark figures are good for us.
It's mostly a good bit of a happy smattering of calcium chloride, oddly enough, a little soda ash, and a little bit of gypsum.
Yeah, right.
And, sorry, what was that last one?
Gypsum.
Okay.
Okay.
Soda ash. I don't think I've heard many people using soda ash in their water chemistry.
And then, what kind of compound is that?
That's a hydroxide.
What does that? What does that do to the water? Like, what does the soda ash do?
You broke.
Sorry about that.
That's right.
It gives it. Oh God! Come on, brain. Work for me for a second.
It's late. I get it. It's, you know. I apologize for the challenging
right
here, but it's fine. I mean, you know.
So, yeah. Well, volcanic soils have silicate in it, and there's really no way to get silicon in the world because of it being molten rock. There's a little bit of silicate in there, and there's really not a good way to get that in for a water source. So soda ash being burnt, basically burnt coal, for all intents and purposes, we'll call it,
right?
You get that same mineral content, or the same mineral... God damn it. Come on, brain.
No, it's sodium carbonate.
Okay.
Oh, that's what soda is.
Right. Yes, there you
go. Okay.
Perfect. So you get all the carbonate. It's
sodium carbonate.
Yeah.
So okay.
You're using calcium carbonate. Right, yeah.
You can use sodium carbonate.
Okay.
And you get more sodium than you.
Right. Well, I mean, that makes total sense. Why, if you want to replicate volcanic soil, I mean, the runoff from the soda ash. Huh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All the carbonates.
Never would have thought about it. Never would have thought about it.
That was a pilot brew, though. Did the water, creating the water was a couple of pilots.
Okay,
did that right.
Okay, how do those go? Do you sit down and do you crack a Negra Modelo side by side, or do you just kind of remember it and you go, this is like that bright, crisp water profile that I want, or how do you make those tweaks in your pilot batches?
We really didn't do side by sides with anything. We just collectively. Myself, the owner, and my assistant at the time tried the beer as it came out. And we're like, okay, this, yes, yes, no, yes. And we just narrowed it down, like, that's the one.
You guys have that deep beer knowledge.
Full production.
Okay.
Well, John, finish the sentence for me. Our beer is just as good as Negro Modelo, except ours is, what would you put in there? You must distinguish yourself somehow, like.
What? I would say fresher.
Fresher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
And made in America. Tasty.
American-made. That's right.
It tastes like freedom.
Right. It's American-made.
Yeah.
Tastes like freedom.
Jeez. I like this beer.
Yeah.
I think a lot of...
I don't know what I'd throw in that line.
Not sold in the supermarket. Right? Or do you?
Ours is better. Is that fair?
Yeah.
No.
Hey.
I think, you know,
it's the same but better. I like that. If we tried to make it, we find ourselves getting too close to them. We like the previous batch better, right? Like, you know.
If I could help you out with that, I find that sometimes, and it depends on freshness, which where I live, you can't find any beer younger than 4 months old, which is very disappointing. But especially Negra Modelo, nobody really drinks it around here, which is weird. But to me, sometimes Negra Modelo has it tastes like a caramel additive. It tastes like just heavy. And this is not that. This is the opposite of that. But it still has that crisp water profile, almost tart. When you get like a tart water, if that makes sense, where it's on that crisp side.
Sure.
Almost citrusy, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it, but definitely like water profile. That's what this has, and I just want to drink it all of it.
Good to hear that.
What is the malt bill on this one? Is it all German malts, or are you using a blend?
It is U.S. raw. Let's see, that would be...
Their Vienna malt?
U.S. Rar, Weirmann, Vienna, Weirmann, Munich 1. That's it, actually. That's the grain bill.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
So it's 50% Rar, Pilsner malt, 25% Vienna, 25% Munich.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Nice and easy, man.
And then the hop bill is... let me see. Tet, Saz and Tet, and then Hallertau Tet at the end.
Okay.
And when
so a blend.
So this is like a original gravity, like 1049 or something. What is or 48?
OG, I can't convert specific gravity, but from Plato is OG 15.5.
What?
No, that's not right. No, OG Plato is 15, I think, even.
15?
FG's like 3.5, 3.
Cool.
It's a 5% beer, which, again,
nice. Yeah,
love it.
Yeah.
Nice job.
I can have a few cans.
I can drink at your place.
Yeah.
Right. I think we're going to have to. When's the you guys need to get NHC out there. That's what you need to do. That's the only way we can really get out there, I think.
That's the only way we'll ever go to Virginia.
Probably.
I guess they might come to D.C. That'd be the closest that they'd ever come, or possibly Baltimore.
They did Baltimore recently.
How far away are you from Baltimore? Yeah, I know we were just there, but, you know.
Oddly enough, about the exact same distance.
Okay.
It actually takes less time with traffic, mind you. It takes less time with traffic to get to Baltimore than it does to D.C., and D.C.'s closer by miles.
Wow.
Huh.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yep.
I drove to Virginia in December, and I drove through Baltimore and D.C. to get there.
You know, neither of those are in Virginia.
No, I was going from Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't know. She's looking up. She's Google searching a globe right now. She wants to look on a globe.
I was really excited. I'd never been to either of those places, and it was, well, I'd been to Baltimore, but my GPS was like, bing, welcome to the whatever they call D.C.
Baltimore.
And then it was like, a second later, it was like, welcome to Baltimore. It was literally, this is so pointless. I'm sorry.
What is the story all about right now?
I don't know. I'm going to turn my microphone off.
Okay, thanks, Bev. Bev got very frazzled earlier today, and I think she got broken.
You broke me.
She's like,
whatever.
Surrendering.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Okay, let's try this last beer here, John. What's this last beer? Slip Angle IPA.
Yes, that is a New England style IPA.
What's that? I'm sorry?
It's a New England style IPA.
New England style IPA, okay. It's, and are you guys...
not very bitter.
Not very New England.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of its haze.
Oh, yeah.
I can almost see through the glass.
I was out of production cans to send you guys, so I sent you a crowler, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Crowler with a screw top on it.
Oh, I see. So this could have been poured
on a screw top crowler.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Here, check that out, Warren.
Oh. These are
the
fancy.
The guy that sold us that machine said that those were called sissy lids.
Sissy lids.
Can't drink it all.
Because if you can't open a crowler and finish it, you're just a sissy.
I like that idea.
That's funny.
Yeah. It'd be perfect for like 16% beer, but
yeah.
Seven to ten, who cares?
It would be perfect for 16% beer. No questions there.
Absolutely.
You can mention that.
So tell me about New England style IPAs and your region. Are you guys, does this beer do well? Are people coming in and asking for it the way they are out here, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yes. So we made that because it was in demand.
Yeah.
So we came up with a recipe and poured it to it, and it's just underneath the Pilsner and the Kolsch as our best seller, and it's catching up pretty quickly.
Oh, it is? Okay.
But
I like that it's not there yet. I like that Pilsner and Kolsch is outselling Cloudy IPA. I enjoy that a lot.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Keep doing it.
Makes me happy as hell.
Yeah.
I know, right? Is this a style that you are interested in, or you just people are asking for it and you gotta make what people are asking for? You can be honest here. No one's listening.
The thing that I like about the style itself is that it's not overly bitter. Mm-hmm. You do get sometimes on certain ones you get a little malty, you get a little bit of maltiness, not a whole lot, but some malt balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that the aromatics of the hops come through, which is happens to be one of my favorite bits about hops. But
yeah,
so from a stylistic standpoint, I do like the fact that it's not overly bitter.
I agree. That is, I guess, the one positive that I have about this beer as well. Not this beer, but the style, I mean, is that it's not super hop aggressive. It's not bitter aggressive, I guess. And I don't. I'll be honest. Just like your business partner, we're okay with him drinking Vienna Lager and enjoying that style very much. I'm more apt to be okay with people brewing this beer or the style of beer when they have such a wide portfolio of other beer styles, clearly focused on more lagers like that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. But
give and take.
Yeah, right. But
you got to pay the rent.
Yeah, you got to pay the rent.
Your sales are going to be like, yeah, you should make an IPA.
And I'm fine with that. Sure. That's cool. It's just when, like, suddenly 90% of their production starts turning to IPAs and cloudy IPAs, like, that I have a problem with.
No, that's a mistake.
But John is not doing that, and I appreciate that very much. You can tell your business partner we said that too. Like, we're okay with your business model. It's fine.
Right.
I will do that.
Okay. Yeah. Never
care. You got the half cold. Like I still say, I can drink at your place. So I still get hoppy beer, but you get these other beers.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, something for everybody. Go ahead, Mark.
It's not a compliment if you're going for a traditional New England IPA, but I appreciate that there is still a bit of hop bitterness in this beer. It's not just totally muted by the chalk and the water profile. And only being like 20 IBUs, like there actually still is bitterness that comes through.
Right. There is bitterness.
Per the style, it's on the more hoppy bitter side. And so I thank you for that.
Was that intentional, John?
Were
you, were you trying to get at least some of that flavor out?
Well, you can only have some. I mean, I'm probably being an asshole on this one. But I was like, man, it's got to be somewhat like a standard beer. It has to have X amount of bitterness.
Yeah.
And some maltiness has got to be there, which I think it's pretty much non-existent. But
the kids these days.
The kids these days, man. They ruin everything. They ruin everything. Yeah, it's a very drinkable version of that style, for sure. People probably, I can see why this is rising up the rising up the ranks. The day that it be, is it what sells more, the Hef or this beer?
I produce way more of that than the Hefeweizen.
Oh, did that break your heart the day that that happened?
It does, but I don't put. Well, I mean, here's a prime example. The reason you guys have a crowler is because I ran out of cans.
Okay,
so we sold out all the cans, so I had to send you a crowler.
I mean, I guess that's the answer.
I would like to see what would happen at some point if they have a Weizen went into cans. So it'd be interesting to see. In our tap room, the have a Weizen outsells that beer that you're drinking now, the slip angle, quite substantially.
Oh, okay. Through your tasting room.
Through your tasting room, but over the counter on the shelf, it doesn't do
on the shelf, the IPA sells better.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, dude, get that Hef in cans, man, especially for that summertime roll around. Let's go, man.
I'm ready.
Let's turn people on to this beer, man, especially you spend 12 hours a day.
Right. You ready for three extra hours in your brew house?
So John,
my wife might not be, but I am.
John, what's the nautical reference to slip angle? Is that some sort of knot or something?
Slip angle, that's an interesting one. So a slip angle is, so when you're loading... So one of the least safe ships to sail across the ocean is a ship that's carrying grain, any kind of grain, whether it's cereal, whether it's barley, rice, corn, whatever. Mm-hmm. So a slip angle is the angle at which
travels in the water, it sounds like.
When the pitch is too steep, and if the ship itself lists, the whole half of the grain bed will slide.
Oh, and then make everything worse.
The entire ship list and sink.
Oh.
So there's a specific angle of the grain that you want to have in there, and the slip angle is that angle. You don't want to pass back.
Jeez. Whoa.
So then it's like, death and a whole bunch of other crap.
Yeah. It's a big batch of beer. Right. Nothing good happens when you get sunk in the water from all the grain.
Correct. It's
the angle of the dangle is really...
I've heard of that before.
Right.
Which I forget the other part of that. John, look, I know it's late. We'll let you go, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk to us about these beers and shipping the beers out to us, man. They were all delicious.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
It was Pleasure talking to you guys.
And then
and again, if you're ever on the Eastern Seaboard, come on by.
Oh, hell yeah, dude, for sure. Absolutely, man. Yeah. Like Tasty said, we could definitely drink here. There's a lot for us to comb through, and I appreciate that. Where can people go to learn more about your beers and what you guys are doing out there?
We have our own Facebook page. You can also go to escutcheonbrewing.com, which is like our website.
Yep.
And come on by, if anyone's listening from the East Coast, come on by the brewery. We're in lovely Winchester, Virginia.
Absolutely. And you got tours and all that kind of stuff, man. Love it.
Got it all.
I love it.
Tasting
John,
a lot.
What's that?
I just said tasting room a lot, yes.
Okay. Hey, man, again, I appreciate it very much. The beers are great, and you're doing a killer job out there.
Thank you kindly. Pleasure talking to you guys.
All right.
Yeah. And everyone have a nice night.
Yeah, John, you too, man. We'll take it easy.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye. Awesome.
Yeah, it's nice to see some diversity.
I know.
And by diversity, I mean three of them were German styles and one IPA.
I'm okay with that kind of diversity. It's diverse for the American craft beer market. That's
I'm okay with that
sure.
diversity.
Yeah. I was
one thing I wanted to ask him was, like here people, like, or is saying, well, I got to get hazy beer because people come asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we on the curve? Or is that still, like, a thing there? Are people coming in going like, oh my God, you got any fucking clear beer? I'm like, think of this hazy shit, you know? Or they just keep going, they're just going hazy. I don't know.
Well, that's sort of what I asked him about, like, are people actually coming in and asking for the beer?
Well,
you know what
sure,
I mean?
That's true here and there, but I mean, maybe, are they still asking, or is it like, it's building, you know?
Right.
Which way is it up, arrows up or down?
Yeah, I'm just disappointed to hear that people, that this beer is outselling. It's on pace to outsell the like pilsners.
You expected a different outcome. I mean, he's going to outsell for a long.
I know. I don't like it though. I'm hoping
that's not your style.
Yeah.
I think
the drinking masters.
I know. I don't like that. I don't like it.
I don't like zombies.
I do not like the drinking masters.
It'll always outsell a Bavarian Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
But I think the Pilsner and Kolsch have a chance to still outsell the hazy beer.
I hope it stays. Look, I'm not blind to what most of the craft beer market wants. I understand that they want it. I don't like that they want it because it directly affects the beer that I can get.
Right, yeah.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. So people like John at Escutcheon are making beers for beer drinkers, not for people who are just trying to chase an Instagram post.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Because that's, to me, what all this hazy IPA shit is. It's all, the beer drinkers are just, they want to check in and rate the beer so they can show people that they checked in and rated the beer. And they want to post it on Instagram with the little lip of the can positioned over the glass. Like the girls with the boobs or like the beer can. Is like in the lower corner, and then the rest of the photo is just boobs.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you're okay, cool.
Wait, the can's changing in those pictures?
Yeah, this is what we're doing. This is how we are celebrating beer, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Got it. Love it. Okay, we are going to take a break. Probably going to get a lot of hate mail for that one, but I don't care. But before we do, I do want to tell you guys about, let's do our friends in the Chamonix Creek Brewing.
Oh, another East Coast brewery.
Jeremy out there. They've been on the Philly beer map scene since 2012. I keep adding scene, but it's the word since. Every time I read it, I go scene because beer scene, and then I wrote it, and I'm stupid, so I whatever. Since 2012, they've been around. They recently took home their fourth Philly Beer Scene Magazine Award for Brewery of the Year, 2014, 15, 16, and 17, and their third award for Brewery of the Year. So Jeremy got the Brewer of the Year. The brewery got the Brewery of the Year.
Same year.
I like 3 years in a row.
Wow.
I like that. Two-time GABF Vienna-style lager medal winner. 2013 gold. In 2016, they took a bronze. They also took a bronze for their smoked lager in 2016. So they're medal winning, baby. Go out there. Check them out. They have a large, expanded, and recently renovated tap room with 24 beers on tap, 18 of which are rotating and seasonal or limited beers. They have a variety of styles from hoppy double IPAs, to sessionable and poundable lagers, yay! To oak fermented saisons and sour beers, eh. Free brewery tours on Saturdays. Check out NeshamonyCreekBrewing.com. We got to get Jeremy back on the show just so I can drink more of his beer.
Yeah, it was a great show. You should go check it out. I forget how long ago that was. Maybe about a year?
It wasn't too long ago, but it was long ago enough where I missed it.
It was in August.
Last August?
Yes.
Okay.
again, when is NHC going back to Philly? Because I'm sad that the last time we were in Philly, I had no idea about the Chamonix. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's rough.
And I blame Jeremy for not telling us sooner.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would do.
Yeah.
Tell us sooner, Jeremy.
Right. Well, what the fuck's wrong with you, Jeremy?
Hopefully we'll get back out there.
That'd be great. Yeah. I want to go to Philly, man.
LA. I'm getting the Jones for East Coast shit.
That's right.
Got to get to Manchester.
I got places to be.
Yeah, yeah, man. But really, I also want to go back to the Midwest, man, because Michelle's. I need to go so bad.
Yeah.
What part of Midwest? Chicago or?
Minneapolis. Minnesota, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Shells is in Minnesota.
I want to go to Shells. I want to go to Shells Brewing and hang out with Jace and drink some beers. And
that's good stuff.
Well, I'll say hi for you in July when I'm out there.
Oh, motherfucker. I'm telling you, get me to come with you. I need
you. Be your plus one.
You're my plus one.
You need me. We came up with the topic.
My travel buddy.
Together. I need you.
Although
need
it depends on if Jace picks that topic.
He will.
Okay.
Jace... He just had a kid, actually. He's not listening to this show, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's
you guys have that
kids,
in common.
We do.
Kids.
I'd worn a candy over. Oh, here, let's take a break. We're going to take a break. And
ooh, another tease.
Another tease, that's right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to do the Twitter game. And then we're going to leave, because that's what we do on the show. We don't sleep here. We actually just, we leave.
Yeah. We leave here.
Anyway, it's the Brewing Network. It's the session. Stay tuned. You're enjoying yourself.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperatures rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to brew their vast selection.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. Woo-hoo! It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah.
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous.
And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're freaking awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops, and now comes in four pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zanishev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn the cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Brewcasters are back.
888-401 beer.
Whatever.
All right, thanks for hanging out, everybody. You can pay a few more bills, talk a little bit about Warren almost killing himself on a door.
Yeah, that happened.
And, you know, kind of bullshit, hang out a little bit.
Yeah, the adventures of not seeing good.
That's true. Speaking of adventures, go to Drake's Brewing whenever you are around the Bay Area. Definitely hit up their brewery. They're out there in San Leandro, just a little bit of a jog around the corner from the 218. Go to drinkdrakes.com, learn more about what they have going on over there. And, you know, look, everyone comes here to the Bay Area for business at some point. You got to do it.
If you're doing business.
So whenever you're out and about, man, hit up some Drake's beer. They've been around the Bay Area for hella days, as we like to call it in the East Bay. Hella. There's no number. Numbers don't exist. It's hella or a little bit.
Not hecka either.
No, hella.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hecka is like you're like 14 and can't curse.
Right. Like, what?
Yeah. But check them out. Drinkdrakes.com. Drakes are they're good people. They're sponsor of the show. They make some killer beers, and they've been inspiring craft brewers in the Bay Area and training a lot of people up, too. A lot of people come from Drakes.
They know
they're so they know what they're doing.
Tasty approved, for sure.
Check them out. All right, Warren, what the hell happened to your face?
So, turns out getting out of cars is not something I've perfected.
No?
In my 32 years on Earth so far.
So the random part is what, where you're stepping onto, like off a cliff or something?
Yeah, so I stuck my foot out and didn't know that I had planted my foot literally right next to the curb.
Okay.
So put my foot out and just doing the normal slide out the seat, get up.
Yeah.
The curb just catches my ankle, so I can't slide my foot or move it. It doesn't move, and I just essentially roll my ankle. And
oh,
then
geez.
Take a nosedive right into the corner, the metal corner of the door. And it just got the underneath side of my nose, ripped out half of my mustache, and actually chipped my front tooth. Chipped my front tooth. So I'm actually going to see Doc's going to rebuild me on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Can he make your penis longer, too? Why is that?
He's not a miracle worker.
That would be good, dude. That would be nice.
Right. Yeah. So be careful out there, guys. There are curbs. And car doors.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and I ended up just laying there on the sidewalk reflecting about the mistakes I've made in my life.
Of course you did, man.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever done, but it's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So your ankle? How about you didn't mention your ankle. Did it recover?
Yeah. It's fine now.
Doc doesn't need to fix that.
Yeah, nothing broke with my ankle, just my face.
How long were you laying on the ground?
Long enough for everyone else to get out of the car and then walk around and see me laying on the ground.
Where was this? Who got out of the car? Was it Candy?
No.
Oh,
it was actually Justin.
Oh, God.
And so he just finds me laying on the ground, picks me up.
Yeah.
I'm just mourning the fact that I am... embarrassed myself in front of some stranger Uber driver and whoever else was around.
Wow.
So.
That would be especially because you get so much shit for being blind.
Yeah. Well, yeah. and then
so
having to
worse.
Tell because and then Candy wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then having to kind of break the news to her slash not.
Yeah.
And then just go home and see if she notices.
Yeah. Okay.
She noticed pretty quick.
Moved over to the left.
Oh,
yeah. And early on,
it's not hard not to notice. And I saw it, and I was like, should I ask him? Because it kind of looks like it might be a herpes.
Yeah, and that's what people kind of have been avoiding it, but it's not herpes. It's
like an inch below your nose, but also an inch above your lip. What reality is that a cold sore?
Maybe it's just really big, and his mustache covers the rest of it.
That's what people are worried about. It's just that big.
Oh, my God. I would not be worried about it, Warren.
Early on, I also had like a giant fat upper and bottom lip, too. Yeah. It was just like a balloon.
Right.
Candy had some choice words to say when I got home after that.
What did she say to you? It's an accident.
Right.
I probably do that twice a week.
Yeah.
Right. She acts like she's the most nimble and agile person. So I trip once, and I'm the dumbest person to walk the face of the earth.
Hope she doesn't.
Right.
We have a phone call.
I'm with you.
Oh.
In regards to this story.
Who is it?
Justin Crosley.
Oh. Here we go.
Oh, he was the witness.
He scooped me up off the ground.
Mr. Crosley in his arm. Justin, how you doing, friend?
I'm doing fine. I just tuned in real quick just to see how the audio was going, and happened to hear Beardy talking about his face plant.
Yeah. And apparently the thrashing he got from his wife when he got home for just being clumsy.
Just for being clumsy, really.
So I haven't even heard that part yet. Yeah. What I do know is I'm on the driver's side, and he's on the passenger side. And the passenger side's at the curb of my house. And I didn't even see him really get out of the car. I got out of my side.
Yeah.
When I walked around to the other side, he's just laying there on his face. And you know how, like, when you fall, like, it's instinctually your arms go to catch you, right? Like,
right.
They go up towards your chest. No, his arms were, like, down at his hips.
Like he just fell over like a wet noodle.
Like he just gave up.
Yeah.
Oh, here's my face.
He's laying on his face.
That's how, like, little kids fall.
It was totally, but then usually they like jump up and do something.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it must have taken me 30 seconds to get around to the other side of the car, and he had neither moved his hands toward his face or moved at all. He was just laying on his face.
Well, Warren, planking went out 3 years ago, dude. What are you doing?
My hands had already broken my fall. I was just laying there giving up on life.
Broke your fall, dude. Your hands were way too low to have broken anything.
I think your face broke your fall.
I'd be missing way more of my beard if my face broke my fall.
No, I think your beard saved your face.
Exactly.
I mean, let's be real. I don't know what it looks like now, but when we got inside, there was like a dime-sized piece of his mustache missing.
It looks like low-key herpes right now.
Of course. Right. So he like a piece of his face came off.
Is it in the Uber car door?
I think it's in the door jam.
That's the question. Yeah, yeah. Imagine being the next person to open that door. One star. He had a piece of mustache in his door jam.
Who? How drunk were you both?
I could use that to cover my balls.
Well,
I remember.
I mean, we weren't sober, but I don't remember it being all that bad.
No,
until he fell on his face.
And I remember the whole. I wasn't blackout drunk by any means because I remember the view.
Congratulations!
Right, I remember the view going over the wheel well, thinking, "Oh, this is not going to go well." and then smacking the door, and then just laying there, being like, "Well, I wish it was just over at this point."
Did you ever think like
that's how you look
on my back?
Oh,
no.
If I'm gonna get hit the ground, I'm gonna hit the ground with my hands tied behind my back.
Well, no, I hit the ground initially with my right side because I also scraped my knee and my right hand.
Well,
I did catch myself.
I think Candy was right to hit you hard and often.
I caught myself on my right side and then just laid down because that
it's
was the closest.
It's not catching yourself if you fall on a specific area. That's still falling.
Thank you, JP.
You're
thank
well,
you.
I'm defending.
Telling you,
I'm defending.
He did not catch himself.
No.
I'm defending the falling with my face yeah. on the pavement.
Oh no, I caught myself. Oh, how'd you catch yourself? Well, instead of hitting my face, I hit my side. Huh?
I'm telling you.
That's more
exactly.
Logic.
He didn't catch anything. There, no person is still on their face 30 seconds. Okay, by the way, let me describe the difference, too. There's a time when you fall, and then your head sort of flops over, and you're laying on the ground.
Yeah.
He was being held up by his face when I got there. So, like, you know, he was in a bit of like a V shape. With his face holding him up.
What?
Yeah.
That's some Charlie Brown shit. Yeah. Like when Lucy pulls the ball away from him and he lays on his back and then the next panel it's fucking Twilight and he's still laying on his back right. contemplating his life choices. That's you Charlie Brown it, but in reverse.
I agree 100%. And now I'm sure you established this, but let's just be clear that, you know, we were at a beer festival, you know, our beer festival all day, and then, you know, Vinny's all night.
Oh, it
so
was that
when
night?
We're describing.
Well,
oh,
morning.
Yeah.
Oh,
really.
No. Excuse me. I know what state you guys were in because Sam took an Uber home.
Yeah, Sam got lucky because you bitched at him for 3 hours about make sure you go home.
Okay,
so
I'm sorry that our beer festival was the day before Easter.
Whatever. He's fine yeah. and is always fine. The guy yeah. can play guitar drunk or asleep at church.
And we had it together
he left
enough.
2 hours early.
We had it together enough to make sure he was at home on the scheduled time. So we were doing fine.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
exactly.
was 2 hours later than he was supposed to be.
Well, we
so
put him in.
All
time.
Failed.
They said a scheduled because, time. They didn't say your schedule.
Oh, yes. Oh, Bevo was like, be home at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. We have church tomorrow, 9 p.m. So 9 p.m. rolled around, and Beardy and I were like, hey, Sam, you want a shot? And so we just kept going like that for another 2 hours before we let him
That's
leave.
That's when he blew off church.
Yeah.
We did remind him what time it was.
We had to be at said, church at 7 a.m.
Ooh.
Well, Sam,
and I bet he was fine, wasn't he? I bet he performed admirably.
Yeah, Sam is really
no,
easy to wake
we
up
were
early
all
in the morning.
Hot damn mess.
Right.
Sam is notorious
Wait,
for being
okay.
able to get up out of bed and being ready to go in a prompt fashion.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I
okay.
hate you.
Wait, though. So the part of the story I didn't catch is, so then Candy came over to pick up Beardy the next day, but she was super, like, polite and nice. Was Beardy saying that when he got home, he was in a world of shit?
Apparently, yeah. He got yelled at and called the stupidest person in the world.
Yeah.
We were just right in the middle of it. So
that's where we were at. Yeah, I heard
okay.
about it for the rest of the day. And the next
really?
Day.
Now, was it like a real yell, or like when a Candy's like, I'm smiling while I'm yelling at you?
Those are the worst, though.
It was. She was smiling,
but also disgusted.
It wasn't the good smile, and there was like a shake of the head, and just
oh.
and a lot of sighing, and you're an idiot.
Well, you do that yourself.
Yeah.
You don't need her to help you.
Oh right,
yeah. right.
But now she
yeah.
has yeah.
yourself.
Yeah, but yeah. now she can
she'd
just
be
see
more
it.
Like, oh, you poor fucker.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now for like the next 2 weeks until it heals is a reminder, a visual reminder
right. of her bad decision,
of her bad
be like,
terrible
kiss the guy
decision.
With herpes.
Right. right, let me kiss him real hard.
Well, and Candy and Bevo are like the last significant others that haven't blamed me for everything wrong in their relationship. has Candy now written me off?
Well,
am I now in the shithouse too?
I was amazed that somehow I took all the blame. I mean,
yes.
as a friend, I didn't be like, well, you know, Justin, it was his fest, and I was with him at his house. It was his curb.
As I would expect you to do, of course.
I didn't do that, and I was hoping that at some point she'd be like, well, Justin also should have been taking better care of you. But nope, it was just, you're an idiot. I can't believe you.
That's what it is, though.
So,
and I think that's fair, because you and Candy have been together for a long time, and Sam and I have been together for 16 years, and I know that he's just an idiot, regardless of who he's with, and it's not Justin's fault. you don't help matters, right. but you certainly don't make them that much worse.
I probably make them worse, but I at least don't like
not that
I don't guide them per se.
Right. It's just the idea.
By the way, I did take care of you. I got us an Uber home. I mean, I did everything except for think that I had to carry you out the door of the car.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, wrap his face in bubble wrap next time.
give him a helmet.
Yeah. And
by the way, the Uber driver completely silent. Like when it happened, because you know some seconds went by, probably a minute, while the door was just open.
Yeah,
I walked around to pick him up. She didn't even look back. She just looking forward. Like I don't know if she's afraid of a lawsuit or what, but right. She was just like, "This never happened." Yeah. I say thank you and close the door, and she just speeds away.
You should check your Uber rating.
Probably turned off the lights so you can't see her license plate.
Was Warren still on the ground face down when she left?
Yes.
Perfect. There's no way that story could have ended any better.
That's why she drove so fast.
Yeah. Wow. Well, God bless that Uber. I hope you gave her 5 stars.
No.
You know what? I haven't even opened my app since. I probably should rate her. And Vivo's right. I'm sure my rating went down.
She drove off with my mustache and tooth in her door.
All right.
Bring it back. Yeah. And tooth.
You should leave a comment for her, like, oh, you know, Barbara was super nice and friendly and drove away while my friend was laying face down in a pool of his missing mustache.
Yeah.
You know what? Late at night, two drunk idiots, I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have gotten out of that car. I would have been like, oh, are you cool? Okay, bye.
I would have at least asked.
Oh,
there's no way I would have gotten out of that car.
Oh,
absolutely
no.
Okay.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
She did not even turn from the windshield. She just looked forward and had nothing to see here. And by the way, just to show how, I don't know how much I can either relate to this or that I'm in the same class of idiot. We got inside, you know, and Beardy's like, oh, I think my tooth is chipped, you know. And I go look at his tooth and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's no problem. I've done the same thing. That was a piece of cake. And so Beardy's he's a little worried about it. And I said, listen, I'm telling you, I literally have done the same thing. But, hey, why don't we call Doc? So we FaceTime Doc at 3 in the morning. And he looks at the tooth, and Doc's answer is, oh, yeah, I fixed Justin's tooth the same way. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Congratulations, Warren.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you moved up or down in life?
I moved through life.
Yeah. Okay. Just remember, keep your hands out.
Keep
your hands out.
Yeah. Can we just not mention the fact that Doc was awake at 3 in the morning?
We had just left Doc. That's why he was still up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the state that Doc was in.
Yeah. Do you think he even saw clearly what you guys were talking about on the video camera? Or it just, here's a blob.
Right.
He saw like you see.
Yeah, right.
Here's a blob and a shape, and we'll just talk to it.
Well, and then we stayed up for a while talking about the windfall that we were going to get based on the insurance policy Justin has out on this beard.
Mm.
And so the fact that half of it's gone now, we should get some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you lost a chunk of it. It's kind of like Doc's hands, you know, like he has an insurance policy out on those bad boys because they're that's his moneymaker.
Oh, yeah.
And clearly Beardy's beard is, my moneymaker. So I should definitely look up the insurance policy.
That explains it.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that. I don't know if you heard my moneymaker. I'm taking out a life insurance policy on Dave Marley from Flat Tail.
That's a good call, actually. I might invest in that.
I think you want to go in? Like, we could do a crowdfunding, investment. Take out everyone in this room. Take out your 401k. Give it to me. And we'll go in, a $10 million life insurance policy.
Do they take those kinds of bets in Vegas?
You are onto something here. How come life insurance policies are not like the stock market?
Right?
Like, really, they should be traded. those of us, me, Marley Abulu, a few others, who clearly could be traded on the market and be very lucrative.
All right, quick question, guys. How many concussions do you think Dave Marley has had?
Are there numbers big enough?
Oh, God.
He told me. I know the actual
number.
You know
what?
this should be a game, because I bet he knows within reason. Like, we could probably, we could maybe guess how many diagnosed ones there are. He knows that.
Well, he's coming up with a show.
You know, and what,
maybe we should do that.
He's coming on soon, right?
Yeah.
And, then, and by the way, whatever that number is that's been diagnosed, it's like when you get asked how many people, you know, you ask your girlfriend how many people she slept with.
Yeah.
You know, triple it.
Yeah. Right. And we should ask him what the average time was before he went to sleep afterwards.
How much missed sleep have you had from concussions alone?
He's like, the best sleep of my life.
I think that's great.
3 days.
Well, thanks for calling and filling in the blanks in Warren's story.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
well,
blanks,
I couldn't resist. I literally was checking because I heard you. I never embellish. I heard you guys had some sound issues. I literally was just checking on that. It was sounding great, but I heard Beardy talking about it, and I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
And also, I miss you guys, so I thought I'd call and say.
Nice to hear from you.
Well, hey, I appreciate it, man. We miss you, too.
You can always come back.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Oh, shit. I mean, I don't miss you that much.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you just come back? You can come back, and then you can leave a little bit later.
I'll be back next week. Do we have a show on Monday?
Yes.
I'm there for that, so I'll be back.
Oh. You better be.
See, there you go, dude.
According to the calendar, you're here.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, homie.
Don't make me nag you like I nag Sam.
Oh, shit.
Make you.
Make.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you.
All right.
Later.
So there you go.
Yeah, there you go, Warren. Right. Laying on your fucking face for 30 seconds. How do you know you weren't concussed? Do you, you remember the whole thing?
Yeah, I remember the whole thing.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
is that a thing
I don't
with concussions?
Think
you don't remember them?
I think you kind of black out typically.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember the whole visual trip of flying over the wheel well, seeing the door come at me. Then spinning to the ground. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Sounds like it.
A whole regrettable thing.
Okay, let's do the Twitter game.
Yeah.
Huh? All right. Twitter game brought to you by the Beer Law Center, of course. John at the Beer Law Center doing his best to protect your trademark and to help you fill out paperwork. Don't forget that. It's very important. You need someone in your corner. John at thebeerlawcenter.com. Okay, so the game was, why is Warren so vanilla?
Because all about me.
All about Warren. It's got to be. You know what I mean? Let's see. Josh Leshovsky says, Warren? Who the hell is Warren? Which I feel like...
That's fair.
...is a shot at... right.
Where's... I never have any paper up here.
That's pretty good. We'll go... We'll, you know, whatever. That's a stupid one. That's a stupid one.
Oh, my Richard, Twitter idea is not sounding so
Richard
bad.
Richard Bachman says, probably has something to do with the boring, passionless style of sex his parents accidentally conceived him with.
Wow. That was aggressive.
Yeah. I got through the internet?
Oh.
Oh. Well, I wouldn't know. I haven't seen them have sex.
I'll give you the tape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So that was a good one.
Yeah, that one.
You know.
I enjoyed that one.
Okay.
Got my attention.
Yeah.
My parents having sex got your attention?
I thought I'd never hear something like that ever again.
No.
Neither did my dad.
Ramsey says, blah, 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 something about cold fermented lagers.
Okay. Hey, they're good.
Yeah. And then, let's see, Steven says, like most gingers, he has never truly seen the sun, so really his tastes are a reflection of his bland, sunless soul.
Hmm, that's fair.
It's pretty fair.
Yeah.
And those
too
were the
accurate.
Those were the top ones, man. I personally,
Warren's parents having sex.
That's just got it. Yeah. Richard, good job, everybody.
You did it.
You did great.
The lampometer, it pegged.
Yeah.
That really hits. I'll fill that out later. What else is good is Beersmith. Go to beersmith.com. Get your 21-day free trial of the absolute best software to do your homebrew johns on.
Yeah.
You got your formulations and all your water profiles and all the things. John does, Brad at Beersmith. What? John.
John.
But I use the wrong... Anyway, whatever.
He's also a sponsor.
BradBeersmith.com. He works really, really hard to make sure that Beersmith is the number one software. And I remember when it came out, there was another software that was... that more people used, and Beersmith overtook it.
Yeah.
Because of how hard, right, because of how hard Brad works. And so check it out. It's 21 days for free. You can download it for free. Again, you get nothing. You don't have to pay anything for it. And then if you like it at the end of that trial, then you pay for it. If you don't like it, then you should probably stop brewing because your beers are still just going to be terrible.
Right. There's no hope for you.
Yeah, there's no hope for you. If you want help, if you want to be organized and you want to know exactly what's going on, Beersmith.com. 21-day free trial, everybody.
And if it matters to you at all, Brad's really nice.
He is a nice man.
Super nice guy.
Nice and hardworking.
That's right. Two things that are, you know, that are amazing for you. Okay, so I want to do this game real quick.
Sort of a game.
Not really. It's just a thing. So, like, I found this... lullaby, where this lullaby album is called Rockabye Baby.
Okay.
And they turn like rock and roll into lullabies.
Sure.
And it's actually been really fun for me to listen to, but I thought I want to see if you guys can pick these songs, especially Bev. She's like the music person.
Person.
Let's see. I'm interested to see if you know what this one is.
You're going
to
play the lullaby. We're going to name this song.
This is Birds. I know what it is.
Me too, but...
Well, you're playing it.
Well, that's true. She's putting her hands over her, squeezing the music.
Is that going to help you hear?
I can hear it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Turn your headphones up on the dial, you walnut.
Oh, this is Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Queen, right?
Yep.
I like it. Here's another one. Let's see if you guys can get this one.
I know what it is.
Did you?
Yep.
Wow.
Warren. Yeah. I know this one too.
I like them. I think they're great.
Visual. That one was so easy.
It really was. Yeah.
The first time those two notes been played together.
Like, right. And the last time.
It wasn't even chorus. Right. It was like two notes. Yeah. Like...
The birds throw me off.
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
Warren, you can't help her out.
She asked.
Well, Jesus.
I know what this is. I would have figured it out.
Tasty, you know what this is?
The Journey song, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't stop believing.
And then, like, the frog. Randomly. It's just so random, dude.
Oh, get him introduced
this
to nature.
Cute. I like it.
If I'm going to have to listen to lullabies, this is okay.
Well, you can rock your baby, and I think it's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
And sing. Instead of singing the instrument, like lyrics, like rock and roll.
Do you sing the words along with
sometimes
the song?
Sometimes I do. Okay. Yeah.
You know, a cappella? You didn't do it?
I actually have no idea what this is. What is this?
You will when he gets to the hook or whatever.
Oh,
I got nothing.
Changes by David Bowie.
Sam would divorce me if he knew I didn't notice. I didn't recognize that.
I remember the song, but I couldn't name it.
No, I think that would be... I don't know. I like to think
that
I would.
That one was difficult.
Here's a good one. This is probably the last one I'll do, because I could just do this for hours.
Okay.
This one is for Tasty.
Right up Tasty's alley.
Metallica.
Yeah.
Yeah. What song? Tasty's a rocker, dude.
Is he?
No,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's good for going to sleep.
Not that kind of rocker.
Well, I can't remember
the name. Well, the song is good for...
Inner Sandman.
Yeah. I thought this was Inner Sandman, which makes sense because it's a lullaby.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not bad,
I'll
right?
Pass it on to my other friends who are having babies.
Here's the last one. Any Way You Want It by Journey.
Good good old Steve Perry.
Steve Perry. But, dude, they have the Beach Boys, Fleetwood Mac albums.
Fleetwood
Queen,
Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
Wow.
Like, Dreams. They got
okay.
Dreams. The Chains, the song that they got. They have a Ramones album. They have...
Oh, wow.
Dude, Aerosmith. But who listens to Aerosmith?
I do.
You're 1 year old, Will. You have to.
Yeah.
Right?
You're going to play that shit.
Bob Marley, which my favorite is the Bob Marley album, to be completely honest with you. Mm. But they have, the Flaming Lips. They have Adele, but whatever. U2. I don't know who listens to U2. Nickelback, again.
Nickelback.
Who listens to Nickelback?
Huh.
But Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yes.
Dude, Kanye West songs.
Huh.
Which I think
I would love to hear Gold Digger done in lullaby form.
You're about to.
No tool.
Oh, wow.
Which is super appropriate to play for a baby.
So good.
Yeah.
What's this website?
It's just, I'm playing it through Google Play Music, but it's Rockabye Baby. Lullaby renditions of Kanye West.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Rockabye Baby.
Oh, yeah.
The beat drop.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Anyway, it's a good time. If you have a kid or whatever.
Yeah.
Make a playlist that you listen to 3 in the morning, you know.
Oh, yeah. I got them all, man. I got them all. Guns N' Roses.
Oh, my gosh.
I just want to see the first few children that are raised with these songs. And then when they get to the age where they actually hear the real version.
Yeah.
And they're like, it clicks. And they're like,
oh, I can't
this
wait.
This sounds familiar.
That should have given away right there, that scale right there.
Is this Guns N' Roses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The only song by Guns N' Roses I know is, well, the popular one. I've heard November Rain.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, Welcome to the Jungle. I would never have recognized that.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, well, there we go. So much for the experiment.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So...
It's fun, right?
Yeah, you've grown old with the BN. Now you've had a child with the BN.
Exactly,
you've had to listen
dude.
To lullaby music.
That's what's happening. That's what is...
Our listeners were like in the early 20s when they started listening. Now they're in their 30s. They're having babies. No, they're all...
Yeah.
They're right along with us. Believe me.
For
hey,
sure.
I'm in my 30s and still not having babies.
But you can get...
But you're physically able to.
Be out of the question.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
You will soon.
If it happens, it happens.
It'll happen.
You're visually impaired. You can find it.
Oh, is that I just haven't found the right spot yet?
Right, for
okay.
sure. Check this out, though. Here's a word from Brewers Publications, which, of course, is the leading publisher of contemporary and relevant brewing literature for today's craft brewers, home brewers, and beer enthusiasts. Brewers Publications started in 1986 with Greg Noonan's now classic book, Brewing Lager Beer, which is an amazing book.
Yes.
And that book is revolutionary in home brewing for sure. Today there are nearly 50 Brewers Publications titles, print and digital, and a beer book to fit most needs. Whether you're just discovering beer or a seasoned professional, Brewers Publications is the go-to choice for authors, brewers, and craft beer aficionados. Browse the complete catalog at brewerspublications.com. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that book, that Brewing Lager Beers book is like, if even if you think you know about lagers, you read the book. But especially if you just want to learn, it's like, I don't know, it's like how to brew.
Yeah.
Where there's enough information for you just to even be dangerous, or you can get all of the nuts and bolts. Like Palmer just really dives down into everything. That Brewing Lager Beers, amazing book.
Yeah. And it goes beyond just lager brewing. It delves into mash science and water chemistry a little bit.
I think fermentation, vessel shapes and stuff.
I
think that's where all that... Or no, that's brewing principles of brewing science.
I think
goes in that. But anyway,
yeah, the Brewing Lager Beer was the first kind of semi technical book that I read, and it was a great intro into that side. If you really want to get into the science behind everything,
yeah,
it's a good start.
Absolutely. Also, don't forget about craftbeer.com. It's their mission. The mission in life for craftbeer.com is to tell the stories behind America's small and independent breweries and the cities and businesses that support them. It's a community full of passion, authenticity, creativity, and camaraderie. Explore the world of American craft beer at craftbeer.com.
We love people at craftbeer.com. And then finally, the last note that we have here, and then we're going to go because we've been at it for a couple hours here, and I want to drink some more beer. And I'm hungry.
We get to eat, too?
We're going to leave, dude. Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's going to be amazing.
Yep, I just got called. The food's ready.
Check this out. Adam and Eve, everybody. They're determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom. Go to adamandeve.com, and you'll get 50% off almost any item when you enter offer code BNARMY at checkout. And you're going to get the free Big O kit, which is amazing. The huge, they should call it the huge O kit.
Oh, huge.
Completely honest, because, I mean, listen, you get a
big isn't big enough.
You get their Climax gel, which is exclusive to them. That's cool. You get a mini vibrator as well. So you can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or anything else. When you choose that one item, you get 50% off of that item. You get free shipping. Plus, you get the free the gel and the vibrator, the mini or the Big O kit, which you won't find anywhere else on the station. Just use code BNARMY at checkout. That's BNARMY at adamandeve.com. All right, what do you think? We ready to go?
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
He has everything.
Feed me.
Right. All right. Thank you very much for everybody listening to the show. Thank you to our guests. We had John from Escutcheon Brewing.
Close enough.
What is it? No, did I fuck it up?
No, I think you got it.
Nailed it.
Escutcheon.
Escutcheon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Killer beers, man. We have some beers left over, so we're going to...
Yeah, we'll finish those off.
We're going to track those down, man.
To Dave.
Oh, right. Yeah, Dave at
Suds Society.
Yeah.
Check them out, too. That sounds like a cool thing, man. You get
you get
brewery swag, and you get a recipe.
Right.
Unique. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Unique shirt, too.
And the breweries he's getting are cranking out some good beer.
Killer stuff. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
Just brings a nice guy and wins.